aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
I see your hair is burning.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Thursday, January the 12th, 2007. The Senate has begun the dismantling of Obamacare, the dismantling of Barack Obama's legacy. And of course, Barack Obama has spent the last 8 years dismantling America, so it's great to see this coming. And we're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about the war that is developed between Donald Trump and the press, but there's more than that. It's what's behind it. And you can see this in the other stories that have surfaced today. A couple of stories that are up on the Drudge Report, one about babies being made without mothers. That's going to come sooner than you think, they say. They say, we just talked about the possibility of this technically a year or so ago. Now it's looking like this is going to come very, very quickly. Same thing we've been hearing from these genetic engineers with CRISPR, the gene editing software. They met like first time 40 years ago, and they said, well, yeah, let's talk about this in general, but it's going to be certainly not in our lifetime. Now the same scientists are meeting there and saying, this has gone way too fast. How do we get ahead of this in terms of the moral and ethical issues? And of course, there's moral and ethical issues with artificial intelligence as well. The top of Drudge Report is talking about robots and their legal protection, treating them as humans. So what we've got here is a situation of, we've seen a lot of 1984, but we've also seen a lot of Brave New World. And I think for the most part, people who fight the system, who notice what's going on, they're going to get 1984. They're going to get the boot stomping on their face. For the rest of the crowd, who is just easily distracted with entertainment, with hedonism, they're going to get Brave New World. And now we throw iRobot into the mix. Isaac Asimov. I mean, they're even quoting the robotics laws from Isaac Asimov. And you've seen this done many times with Twilight Zone. You, of course, had movies that have been made of this as well. A robot may not harm humanity or by inaction allow humanity to come to harm, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we're going to call them the positronic brains as well. Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next segment. He's going to talk about the most important information we've ever had. And, of course, one of the other things that's happened that we're going to be talking about in the show today is the move by the EPA, this agency that is drunk on power and thinks that they control everything. And, of course, this also boils into the entire globalist agenda, Agenda 21. They're now coming after Chrysler, after perhaps bankrupting VW, but they're coming after diesel fuel because that's what they want to shut down. And this goes all the way back to one of the first reports I had when I came here at InfoWars. Their phony testing, their rigged emissions testing, where they were testing on human beings, hooking them up to diesel tailpipes, searching for people who had heart and respiratory issues, and doing that right there where I was living in North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Because there's a big EPA facility there. Then they did it in California. I was there with a group that tried to stop human experimentation. They were doing it to further their climate change agenda. So we're going to be talking to Mark Marino, Climate Depot. He's going to also be coming up on the show. And we're going to have comments about this developing war from Lionel as well. It's pretty amazing. I mean, we've got people from the former defense spokesman in Germany saying the that Washington seems to be on the brink of civil war. As elites fuel anti-Trump hostility, that's a former German member of parliament, also a spokesman for the defense agency. He said, we had very good relations between European nations and Russia until Washington changed it. The Russian reset, as they called it. But it's actually a reset of the Cold War. And then, of course, you have Glenn Greenwald saying the deep state goes to war with president-elect, using unverified claims as Democrats cheer. And he makes it very clear. Certainly, Glenn Greenwald doesn't like Donald Trump. And he makes it very clear he doesn't like Donald Trump, but he's concerned about something that is even more dangerous, and that is the fact that the CIA would be doing this types of things to a president and that the left would cheer for it out of sheer partisanship. It's just fine to be partisan. It's fine to have an opinion about things. But when you start authorizing censorship, when you start authorizing clandestine operations, now you are burning down the republic. So stay with us. Alex Jones is going to be coming up with the most important information ever. We'll be right back after this break.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse.
It's a military mission in North St. Louis. Heavily armored vehicles are rolling into town.
And don't be alarmed if you see those over the next 7 days rolling through your neighborhood.
If you see military helicopters flying low over Minneapolis, do not be alarmed.
The guns will be taken.
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in.
Just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Enough. 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 Enough.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
And as KSLA News 12 Jeff Farrell discovered, the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us.
So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics.
Black Hawk choppers soaring through the night sky, but this is only a drill.
Heavily armed officers in Watertown search for the suspect, house to house.
It's a joint military training exercise involving local police, also military.
In your apartment!
I am in my apartment, sir.
Go back inside right now!
I am inside.
I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming.
The dramatic scene played out in front of our cameras. Parents grabbing their children and running after spending the night hunkering in their houses and then finding themselves face to face with the muzzle of a SWAT officer's rifle.
They let them in the area. They told them they could come in, and now they're coming in like they're trespassers, punching and shoving people.
We're not turning our guns in, and we're not running, and we're not backing down. If you want them, come and take them.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Revolution in their mind. They start to fall. Hell is the world in which they have to live. And all the hate that's within their heart.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
This is the heart.
1776. Joining us on this live original Thursday global transmission, we are now only T-minus 8 days out from the inauguration of the 45th President of the United States. Co-hosting with me is David Knight in the Central Texas News Center's in Austin. I come to you via the phone. I am not at liberty still to talk about major developments that are the biggest of not just my career on air, but quite frankly, this country. This is a lot bigger than InfoWars and myself, but we are obviously intimately involved in it. The country is in an all-out civil war against foreign multinational banks that believe they own it and control it. They're allied with the communist Chinese, the EU bureaucrats that have hijacked Europe, the Saudi Arabian Islamic Caliphate. This is truly World War IV. It's economic, it's cultural, and it can get military any day. We are truly seeing the sad depths to which our nation has sunk, the criminal rogue elements of the CIA, led by Brennan and Clapper and others, who lie to the American people to our faces constantly, you know, told us that the NSA doesn't spy on Americans, period. That doesn't exist. Remember that? That was what Clapper told everybody. And now they've come out with this fake dossier that when I saw it 2.5-3 days ago, I went, wait a minute, I saw this before. 4chan had this, the big hacker group, over a year ago, and was passing it around as a joke. It's misspelled. misspelled. It's got fake names, wrong names. It's a classic setup, like the one Karl Rove famously reportedly gave to Dan Rather to mess up his whole Texas National Guard story as a poison pill into the rest of the story that was actually true. Now, I'm not a fan of Dan Rather overall, but compared to Rachel Maddow or other CIA operatives like Anderson Cooper, he's an angel. But instead of them backing off when Trump came out and said, you're fake news, and Time Warner stock dipping and people really waking up, and even CNN had to admit that Trump nailed the press conference and, you know, knocked it out of the park, a grand slam. Instead of that, they have tripled down, and Anderson Cooper and everybody else are actually defending PPGate. This is just so incredible. Totally and completely made up. Now, folks are asking, is this from hackers, 4chan, and their spoofing board, their famous trolling board, the king of the trolls? Or is this opposition research? Well, it's both. This is opposition research. Mark Dice correctly called it 2 days ago. This is opposition research where they just cook up a bunch of lies and a bunch of disinformation and start floating it out there. It then got floated on the web back before the Republican primaries over a year ago. We're talking, this happened like 16 months ago. This happened in back in late 2015. This is just incredible. Was the first time this stuff started floating around. So this shows us, with 8 days left, the sky is the limit. And let me assure everybody, I said this a month ago, got picked up by a lot of different publications. You can simply Google Alex Jones, CIA, planning to kill Donald Trump. Now, the media kind of took what I said out of context. I said the fact that they're announcing continuity of government, the fact that they're announcing COG, the fact that they're announcing that they believe Russians have basically taken over the government, that's what they're saying. They're claiming Trump's a Russian agent. They're selling that idea to the public ahead of an attempt at a coup d'etat, an assassination, or the type of coup d'etat where they just indict Trump or indict his underlings and use fake evidence. It's a continuum where they're just ramping up the background noise to see what the public will buy, and the public's not buying at the poll show, but they don't care. They're so committed. It's a plan that it appears they're going to go ahead and follow through with, just like they followed through with Hillary, just like they followed through with Jeb Bush on the tickets that blew up in their face. So they are arrogant. They are insane, but they are in control. And they do have a plan, and they are moving forward, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let's remember, John McCain publicly poses with al-Nusra and al-Qaeda and ISIS fighters and is behind, basically, with Hillary, the entire Syria five-year nightmare and 300,000 dead. This is a monstrous creature who hasn't found a war he doesn't like. He's called for net censorship. He called for, quote, blowing up people's computers that criticize the government 8 years ago. You can actually Google that. Or if you, quote, violate copyright, no judge, no jury, quote, send a virus to, quote, blow up your computer. So he is a mad dog, just insanely arrogant, out of control, up on the Intelligence Committee, taking a 4chan dossier that was obviously, they now admit, produced for opposition research by some former MI6 spook. Now, ladies and gentlemen, notice it continues to be MI6 time and time again that continues to pop up and claim the Russians are running everything. Remember the famous polonium poisoning and all the rest of that. It turned out to be a false flag. I think it's one of their double agents they were getting rid of. So this is very, very serious when you see them involved, because they see the United States as part of their larger empire. We made deals in the 20s to merge the British Empire. That's what the Council of Foreign Relations is all about. So this is the maximum moment of crisis for this country and the world. Everybody should be praying for Donald Trump. Everybody should be praying for myself. Everybody should be praying for Roger Stone. Everybody should be praying for anybody that's prominent that's supporting Trump. Because let me just give you a newsflash, okay? There is all hell breaking loose behind the scenes. And I, quite frankly, do not like having to sit here and knowing all this and not able to tell you. And I'm not trying to pique your interest. Everybody knows if I have a top story and I say it's coming up the next hour, I'll go ahead and just tell you right up front, because I don't like holding on to stuff. I don't build things up like other talk show hosts. I just give you everything I got right up front, because there's always so much more coming anyways. And I just cannot tell you look at all the hell that's breaking loose, ladies and gentlemen. Fake dossiers, the media not caring they've been caught, this look of total insanity in the CNN reporter's eyes. This is a look of total commitment. And 2 weeks ago, I ominously told everybody that I was watching the body language of different spooks on CNN, and they said, it is now Trump's fault in the Situation Room when he had a fill-in guest. What is coming now with a huge war will be his fault and his supporters' fault. We have tried, but we have failed. I mean, it was like in, you know, Superman 2, when they're sitting there committing the General Zod to the Phantom Zone, and they're like, guilty, guilty. What is our verdict? Guilty. The final verdict. Guilty. I mean, you can see the criminal commitment in these people's eyes, in their actions. They think we're the bad guys, and they are going to pull something big in the next 8 days. You see it exponentially getting worse every single day in magnitude. And if you plot the next level, it's going to be fake witnesses, women giving press conferences that Donald Trump raped them, or that, you know, that women delivered children to him to rape. I mean, it's going to be the most horrible, insane crap to where the public is just in hysteria, not knowing what to believe. And then, boom, a truck bomb goes off, or boom, you know, some crazy assassin storms the building. Of course, Trump's got to have his own private security. It isn't that most of the Secret Service aren't great, wonderful, hardworking veterans and patriots and good people. But of course, it's a federal government body under the control of Obama for 8 years and the globalists before that. It's totally infiltrated with killers, with operatives, with double and triple agents. I mean, that's one of the number one targets you do penetrate as a foreign state or as a globalist operation. So while they're, and I happen to know about Trump's security just separately through other people, okay, not through Roger Stone, but through other sources. Everybody always thinks it's Roger Stone. It's kind of like when I have Secret Service info, they always think it's Dan Bongino, because he's a guest on the show. I have it from people inside the military and let's just say multiple sources in Special Forces Command and all the rest of it, of where Trump got his security. And I'm not giving up any security information that the globalists don't already know, okay? But he's got Department of Defense people, now that he's president-elect. He's got top former Department of Defense people before that that do some of the most important security work and high-value target defense out there, okay? But just understand this. This country is under siege. Everybody's got to be praying hourly that the truth come out. And I'm telling all the patriots in government, all the patriots in corporations, everybody, you must leak everything you've got on the enemy now. This is the time. Drop everything you've got on them. If you're inside a corporation, if you're inside one of their operations, and you've got intel that brings down any globalist, hit them hard. Any one of these operatives we politically take out right now is a major victory. They know that against us, okay? Understand that. They are going after basically all the high-value targets that support Trump. And I'm just going to leave it there for my own safety and issues, okay? So listen to me very, very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. This is the fight right now for this whole country's soul, this country's future, but not just this country, the world. And I want to give the globalists a very important message. I'm going to skip this network break so we have more time. I want to give a message to the New World Order. You have failed. You can look at the tea leaves. I know you're so evil and so turned over to wickedness that it's not like I'm here trying to demoralize you. I want you to know that we know, and that we're declaring it here publicly. You have failed. No matter what you do, any angle you go down, any road you go down, only buys you a little more time, but makes your fall that much harder when you finally get there. Globalism is exposed as a corporate fraud, as a new imperium, as a new royalty, tax exempt above the law. Globalism has been exposed as a anti-human eugenics-based system. Your whole New World Order program is dead on arrival. All of you are being identified worldwide by patriots in government and corporations and private life everywhere. And the fact that you have tried to force your world government here at the end when the planet was rejecting it, the fact that you've tried to force the destruction of nation states and this global corporate overwrite is only going to accelerate the fall of your system. So know this. You may be able to stalk people and kill people and poison people and do all the evil stuff you've been doing forever to third world countries that you're now doing here, but you're a bunch of bullies And the reason I had them air that intro from earlier, that's about 4 years old, 3 years old, is where I say, we're not turning our guns in and we're not backing down. So if you want them, come and take them. And those are real declarations. I'll be quite honest. The fact that this has gone into the physical realm and the fact that this has escalated up into these higher areas makes me very, very excited at a fundamental level of victory, because we have pushed the enemy into nakedly making up the most ridiculous, unsubstantiated garbage publicly. We have pushed them into persecuting the press and intimidating people and really showing everybody exactly who they really are. And the fact that this has happened and the fact that they have taken the gloves off metaphysically and historically shows us they're losing, and they know they're going down the tubes, and that's why everything they do is blowing up in their face. So instead, again, they're only intensifying when they get caught with a year and a half old, almost year and a half old, piece of total made-up garbage that a 12-year-old probably wrote. And the fact that they're all passing that around as their great evidence of how Russia has infiltrated our country, when it's globalism that's infiltrated our country, when they're the traitors, and it's Hillary meeting secretly with Putin, and it's Henry Kissinger that's Putin's top advisor, on and on and on. The fact that everything they say about us is what they're doing, and this is now all blowing up in their face. And so this battle is the animating contest of liberty. This fight is what grows our muscles, grows our movement for national sovereignty and anti-New World Order, anti-globalism. From 15 years ago, maybe 1 in 50 people knew the Federal Reserve was private. Maybe 1 in 50 people knew about the New World Order. Now almost everybody does. And the growth curve is so fast now that even the most zombie-type people are now starting to wake up. But notice, MSM has its old instincts where they would operate with no opposition, where they could put out any lies they ever wanted to. Well, now they don't just not have air superiority. They are being dominated by us and others. So good luck hacking Drudge. Good luck trying to shut him down for 2 weeks straight and us for a month straight. Good luck. All you do is send us more traffic as everybody realizes how real this is. All you've done is come out from the shadows. We forced you out of the shadows. We forced you to name us. We forced you to admit you're afraid of us. But what you're afraid of is the truth, you see. I don't want to just sit here like a peacock in some mansion and be powerful and have minions under me. I want to restore the republic. I want to empower humanity. I want to treat babies' bodies with respect and not sell their body parts. I want to bring back pro-human ideas. I want to empower culture and the world. That's what I believe in, because I know this body doesn't go that long, but my genetics go on forever as long as the species isn't destroyed. And I want to add another big pointer today. There's an RT article up on Infowars.com. Where governments and parliaments are calling. I told you this has been coming for over 15 years. They're calling for a bill of rights for artificial intelligence and robots. That's because this isn't real life, folks, but the elites will control it and backdoor it and will now be able to outvote us, claiming all this tech and all this surveillance and all this AI that's swallowing up our species now is its own life form, represented by the bureaucrats and the guilds and the lobbies that will represent it. And I always told you, that's the telltale sign before they roll out the AI they've created, which whether you say it's conscious or not, it clearly doesn't have a spirit. The real AI they have is Google, where billions of us every day interface with it into a giant hive mind. That's the only thing that's real in AI, and Google admits that. This is not science fiction you're hearing. This is in their quarterly reports. It's been declassified by Google for 4 years. We knew about it when Google was founded 17 years ago from our sources inside AT&T and Time Warner, who were working with them on creating the new superbrain. They believe they've created it. Amazon, all of them are in a race to create it, and it's meant to make us obsolete. So listen, we're aware of their whole plan. Beating Hillary Clinton and beating George Soros is only one level of this. The real battle is going to be AI. It's going to be the genetic engineering. It's going to be false realities, false AI, false virtual reality that is so enticing and so alluring, where you're a king on your own planet and have the most beautiful women, la, 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 versus the real reality where we live here in the third dimension. The real challenge coming is going to be for the very soul and genetics of humanity itself. So Hillary Clinton and George Soros and this crop of old 90-year-old globalists, they've already been defeated. But in this test, many of us as individuals aren't going to make it. So let's just understand that they believe they can physically and culturally destroy individuals and scare the rest of you into believing that we've been defeated when we've been empowered. It is a great honor to be attacked by these people. It is a great honor to be destroyed by them, even though I don't want that physically, and my flesh certainly doesn't want it, and I'm a selfish person at my lower levels of my awareness and my consciousness. But at my heart, at my core, at my spirit, fearless, loving every minute of it, have never been more alive, have never had greater discernment. But just to understand this, just as my awakening is accelerating, so is your awakening. And the enemy is awakening to what they've actually built and how deceived they were. And so a lot of what you're seeing is the panic of the minions of this devilish system that now realize they weren't going to be the captains of the world government. They were just the fools that were psychotic enough to put their fellow humans in a cage and begin the enslavement of humanity because they were promised greater power by their masters. Now, David Knight's with us. I want to bring him in, obviously, here as I host into the hour and then turn things over to him. I'm going to probably be on tomorrow via video, and we're going to be having some big announcements, if not today, over the weekend. Quite frankly, I'm not sure. I am waiting on a whole bunch of fronts to be able to bring this information out to you. But this is a critical time for all of humanity. I'm Alex Jones. This is the InfoWar. Stay with us.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Well, we knew we could do it. We knew the American people were good people who loved freedom and who remembered what made the nation great, which was the greatest ideas humanity ever developed. The ideas developed in the Bible and then merged with Anglo-Saxon common law. We are a Judeo-Christian nation. I've heard a lot of white supremacists and people say they hate that term Judeo-Christian. And I'm sorry, I've researched history, I've researched the Bible. Whether you love Jews or hate Jews, Jews are a mixed group like any other group. We are a Judeo-Christian nation. That's where it comes from. The whole thing, the Abrahamic religions are Judah, tribe of Judah. I don't know why I just went off on that jag, but it's just semantically, I'm so tired of being historically informed and watching all the complete abject ignorance out there. But the point is that our Anglo-Saxon common law, which fit quite nicely, was actually very, very similar to Judaic law, and then Roman law has been mixed into it as well. That's more the global mercantile system. These three systems of law were basically codified into our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence in reverse order. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's the newest, best thing. It's the trump card against tyranny. They always say, oh, that's a 250-something-year-old document from 1776 written by Thomas Jefferson. I mean, that's old. We need this new globalism. We need some big computer to decide how we live and what we do. The CNN and the New York Times said so. Meanwhile, that's the technocracy they want. That's the technocracy Bloomberg admits that he wants to put in place. He's a technocrat. He's the king technocrat to control every facet of our lives. Guess what Bloomberg's done in just a decade? His $10 billion has gone to 50-something billion. Just off technocracy. Just off, quote, information. And he gets information that you allow him to get that he aggregates from the big internet giants, and then he sells it back to them with his algorithms that are basically proprietary from the government. And then he controls our lives. How you like that? How you like high-frequency trading, where they make billions a day ripping you off and scamming the whole stock market, or rigging the currency rates, or rigging the interest rates? Everything our guest would come on 20 years ago, I'd have lawyers on, and people wouldn't believe them when they were breaking down mirrors. And now most of the mortgages have been sold 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 times. And that was all a scam, and how they were putting debt against your birth certificate, and how they created 100 plus trillion, now it's several thousand trillion, in fake derivatives. All of it was true. All of it was true. And I, 20 years ago, would roll my eyes at it in couldn't believe it, even though lawyers and others were bringing me the documents. And that's what I'm saying is, it's such a tiny elite of globalists at the top. And the news I want to give you is, I cannot stress enough to you the fact that I have studied so much history. And I'm not bragging when I say that. I'm just saying this isn't my opinion. I'm not your average cat. I'm not just here saying this to be dramatic. When I said over a month ago, you can Google it, it got picked up by newspapers. I'm proud of the fact they attacked me. They said, look at Alex Jones. He claims that the CIA has activated COG, saying that Trump's a Russian agent and maybe preparing to overthrow his presidency. They're calling for it in the news now. They built up to this point. They're selling the idea. They're getting Congress lined up. They're getting the media lined up. They're intimidating people in the press, saying you won't have a future anyways if Trump gets in. You've got to stop him. Trump is such an incredible champion. I don't just say this to kiss his rear end. It's amazing how good he is. I was, you know, had a little bit of concern about my support. My gut told me he was good when he first announced 2 years ago. I've been basically backing him from the very start. But now it's so proven as the hundreds of billions come back in jobs and as he prepares to control the border and as he's about to this week have the Senate and then House repeal Obamacare, something they said was impossible that we'd never reverse. That was them trying to break our will, folks. No, they're the ones that are broken. So let me tell them something. You go ahead and you kill Trump, or you go ahead and kill his supporters. You go ahead and start a false flag. You go ahead and indict him. You go ahead and make something up. You go ahead and have false witnesses come forward. This is for the whole empire, folks, is why they're doing this. I mean, we're in the middle of a war right now. But just like Trump beautifully said yesterday, do you really understand what you did with Obamacare, that if it's $2,000, $3,000 fines in 2016, in 2017 it goes up to $5,000 fines on employers alone, multi-$1,000 fines on individuals. The premiums are ballooning. It's going up on average 17% a year. Some people it's doubled and tripled, like my parents, who were good and never used their insurance and paid for it for 30-plus years, and then now it's been doubled and then tripled. I mean, this is insane. And he said, Democrats, I'm doing you a favor. I could let this sit there and not ram this through and then let it hurt people even worse and hurt our economy worse, and you'd be destroyed in the next election. But he said, I'm not doing that to destroy you. I'm going to try to save this country and save Americans' money. I'm going to do my job and not stoop to politics. And that's why they're so scared, folks. They've artificially jacked the economy and picked the winners and losers, and it all ends with Trump. Look at what humans build. Look at what we do. You turn us loose, we will innovate the planet. We will innovate the third world. We will empower everybody who wants to work and who has a good attitude. And the spirit of having ingenuity and Americanism, you can feel it, can't you? You can feel it, can't you? Trump can feel it. If you can feel that spirit, then you can feel what the enemy howls in anger at, because they want to be the only ones with the spark of creativity. They want to be the only ones deciding what to build and what to do. They don't want you to be able to chop down a tree in your backyard or fix your garage or open an ice cream shop or a wine shop. They don't want you to put a windmill up in your backyard or a solar panel unless they say, and unless it's jacked into their system. They're control freaks because they're nobodies. And the return of real men and real women with the largesse and the gravitas to build cornucopias of human empowerment is here. It's knocking at the door. We open the door. Trump's coming in, and the vampires are having conniption fits. Conniption fits as the light just pours in. And here's the danger. With 8 days left, you see, as I told you, I'm not glad I'm right. Exponential acceleration, exponential arrogance, exponential lies. I'm going to bring David Knight in here, and then I'm going to finish up in a moment. But David, is it not incredible to you, you're about to host the rest of the show, is it not incredible to you that here we are yesterday going, look at this, they admit it's fake, they admit, you know, this Cohen guy they say was in Russia was never even there, they can't even get the names right in this fake dossier, it was clearly just created off internet information, and then fill-in-the-blank lies put in, we've known about it again. I mean, I saw this thing when I was early on supporting Trump, like 16 months ago, people were like, you better watch it, he's getting peed on by hookers, and when he was over there in 2013. And I was like, this is on 4chan. This thing's got spelling mistakes in it on purpose, okay? Because trolls always give you a chance to know you're being duped. I said, this is crap. I said, this is such crap. It's probably put out by a Trump supporter, hoping Democrats pick it up. Now, I don't know what really happened with it, but here's the bottom line, David. They're running with it even more arrogantly now on CNN and MSNBC, now saying it's real. At first, when it came out that it was totally fake, they had to admit, okay, we screwed up. They don't care now, David. What does that tell you that the New York Times, and I want to say one thing to Trump. Man, next time I talk to him, I'm going to tell him this. Sir, I know you want to make the New York Times be nice. I know you live in New York. I know it's important to you. I know you grew up with it being numero uno. InfoWars has more traffic than it does, sir. You're not going to win them over just because you had a meeting with Slim. They're not going to stop. For every nice article they write 50. They called him yesterday the Manchurian candidate in a huge front page story. Let's pull it up. Just type in Manchurian candidate, click news. And they said he's a Soviet agent. Now, I told you, that's the criminal elements of the CIA. And when they said he's a Manchurian candidate, they're getting ready to green light rogue groups arresting him or killing him. Okay? Believe me, the stuff going on behind the scenes, folks, the things they've activated, the crap they're pulling is, by the way, a two-way street. And they know that. They are out of their minds. They're losing, but in their death rattle, they're trying to pull us down like a giant squid trying to pull down a sperm whale. David Knight, what do you make of this?
Well, you know, Alex, I thought it was kind of interesting. Piers Morgan, who was on The Apprentice, was one of the winners on The Apprentice. Not a friend of ours, but he knows Donald Trump personally. And I thought he put it perfectly. He said, the only hookers in this story are the cheap, lazy journalists who run with fake Trump sleaze so they can urinate on his presidency. I think that just basically lays the whole thing out.
Well, that's what I said yesterday. Yeah, I said they're literally peeing on the truth.
Yeah, they're literally prostitutes or literally prostitutes. And of course, it was just a couple of weeks ago that we saw that Snopes, the people who have been chosen by Facebook and others to be the arbiters of real truth, they have their own problems with prostitutes. They have a S&M mistress that's doing their stories there, and of course all the dirt that is that came up with them. I mean, they're the real prostitute media. And so what happens is they project their perverted lifestyle, their vulgar, disgusting lifestyle on other people. They speak to people's confirmation bias that follow them, and that's really what's going on here. But that's just the surface. As you point out, what's beneath this all is the war of the elites. And of course, there's a lot of people now who are speaking out about that across the political spectrum. We got Glenn Greenwald, no fan of Donald Trump, saying this is this deep state going to war with Donald Trump. We got German MPs, a former Defense Department spokesman there, talking about how this is really about the military-industrial complex coming after him. So that's really the bottom line of all this.
Well, that's it. And again, yes, now Glenn Greenwald says it's the deep state coming after him. Now WikiLeaks says it. Now the German members of government say it. Remember, folks, we told you months and months ago, this is the deep state, the shadow criminal globalists that have hijacked the nation. It isn't about credit. It's about listeners understanding. We told you the UN is going to come out and call for computers to be given rights, but of course the UN will represent the so-called machines that the globalists create. So their own creations with Trojan horses and backdoors will now have rights where you get sent to prison if you, say, smash some robot that pulls you over and gives you a ticket. That's where all this is going. We have their dehumanization program. If we simply wake up to it and say no and call it out, they will fail. The spirit of awakening to this will bring them down. I want to play a clip again. I played this probably five times yesterday, but it's so important, of Trump telling CNN, no, you're not real news. I'm not going to let you just butt in here and take over. Here it is.
Information that was false and fake and never happened got released to the public. As far as BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage, writing it, I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are. And as far as CNN going out of their way to build it up. And by the way, we just found out I was coming down. Michael Cohen is a very talented lawyer. He's a good lawyer in my firm. It was just reported that it wasn't this Michael Cohen they were talking about. So all night long, it's Michael Cohen. I said, I want to see your passport. He brings his passport to my office. I say, hey, wait a minute, he didn't leave the country. He wasn't out of the country. They had Michael Cohen of the Trump Organization was in Prague. It turned out to be a different Michael Cohen. It's a disgrace what took place. It's a disgrace. And I think they ought to apologize to start with Michael Cohen.
Sir, since you're attacking us, can you give us a question? Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead.
Mr. President-elect, since you are attacking our news organization, can you give us a chance?
Your organization
You are attacking our news organization.
Your organization.
Can you give us a chance to ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir, Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead.
Can you say categorically?
She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
You're attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude. No, I'm not going to give you a question. I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir.
All right. Now I'm going to get out of here in a moment and let David Knight take over. But understand, we've always wanted somebody to be a champion of America, somebody to fight globalism, somebody to turn the economy back on, somebody to defend the Second Amendment, defend religious rights in this country. I've personally talked to Trump about this. He's deeply committed to getting the IRS off the backs of the 501c3s and the churches. You wanted it, folks. You've got it. This is God giving us an imperfect servant, just like King David. But I do liken him to King David, taking down Goliath, okay? He's taken down Goliath, but next phase, folks, we've got to get behind Trump. And I'm telling you, a whole era of prosperity can come in, and we can have Americana spread around the world in the face of globalism that's going to still operate and the whole technocracy. But Trump is just riding a wave of this awakening, but he's a very, very special person, a very, very special person who, believe me, is way smarter than he even looks on air. I mean, just the understanding he's got is an absolute godsend. He's a blessing. I mean, I'm telling you, Trump is absolutely heaven sent, and we need to pray for this man. We need to understand, and the people in the media that are going along with the attacks on him just because it's seen as fashionable and cool. Look, this is a real war. This is dangerous. You have sided with really evil criminal forces that are very, very wicked. And I know a lot of you know that and get off on it, but some of you at Media Matters and others I know are pretty upset about what you're seeing. I'll just go ahead and announce this. That's why there has been a mole inside Media Matters. And there's a lot of information that we have, and there's a lot of information that we have on other sources. And you know, going back a few months ago with the election, I have been basically asked, and others have, just to not take the gloves completely off, hoping that CNN and Media Matters and everybody else would just stop. They're not going to stop. They're scum. And everybody knows about scum. They don't know when to quit. They don't know when they're whipped. And so here's the deal. Everybody always wanted to fight. I always said, hey, I don't know how this is going to end, but if you want to fight, you better believe you got one. Well, I'm in every bit of that. So I love it. And I'm sad for people, what they're going through. And I'm sad for, you know, some people that, you know, may not make it. But the whole point is that's just the way this is. This is a man's game, isn't it? It's a man's world. I've done a man's job. And you know what? I'm ready to do more jobs. I'm ready to do whatever it takes. So you want to bang heads with me, New World Order? You got it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go. Oh, guess what? We're already banging heads right now, aren't we? That's right. You're going to get your head banged so hard now. You're going to get your head banged so hard. So hard, you ain't ever going to get back up. So, discretion is a greater part of valor. Well, you don't have discretion. You don't get it, do you? And you're never going to get the best of better men. You just mark that down. You came from scum. You are scum, and you're going to get run over now. And I feel great. Now, I need the listeners, because I've obviously been out of town. I thought I'd take some time off with the family, but I ended up working this whole time, and it worked out to be good that I'm out of town during all this craziness. We have a huge special on our amazing best-selling nootropic Brain Force, now 20% more each bottle. We almost skipped this network break, so David has more time. I need David to keep plugging here, David, because we're not bringing in the capital right now. No, nobody's fault. I just haven't been on it. We also have 10% off on DNA Force, the flagship product that's been sold out for months, because this isn't a product even our listeners order. This is the product that real nutraceutical supplement heads buy, because they know it's at least half the price of other similar brands that you get from doctor's offices. It is a prescription, but stuff that has these type of quality products usually sold by doctors or at health clinics and things. Well, some people sell for five times, six times as much. We have it, the very best BioPQQ, the very best CoQ10, and a bunch of other cofactors and things to accelerate it, enzymes, uptake it and absorb it, with BioTrue Seleniums back in, but 10% off on DNA Force. And this is just an epic battle. It's an epic war. And we need your financial support now more than ever, whether it's Hillary for Prison shirt 2017, deport George Soros on the back, whether whether it's Trump is my president, still a few sizes and that left in red. Whatever the case is, we need your financial support now because history's happening. And David, you are so eloquent. You're so amazing when I hear you on air. But you've got the same problem I have. You're too jovial. You're too confident. You're too focused sometimes. I want you to just sit back and realize where you're at right now talking to, let's be conservative. There's probably 2 million people right now conservatively watching you and listening to you live. Very conservative number. I mean, it's like 5 million a day. But let's say 2 million people are tuning to you right now, and you're sitting there, you know, talking about all this, dealing with this. I mean, we're not just saying there's a civil war. We're not just saying stuff's going on behind the scenes. But James Bond movie stuff, okay, folks? I, when I say that, I mean the stuff I've seen, the things I've witnessed, it'd be the biggest story in the country right now, okay? And I'm not even supposed to say this. I am completely speechless at this point. And I mean, the government is run by total criminals. Now here's the deal, at the top. But it's full of all these good people that things got so corrupt they finally had to speak out and say something. That's why we're actually winning right now. I'm not kissing their ass. It's true. It's because people in the intelligence agencies leaked the truth, stood up, and have basically told Obama to go to hell. And they told Obama go to hell about backing ISIS and Al-Qaeda. So all this incredible stuff's happening right now, David. It's such an incredible time to be alive. I'm so honored to know you, my friend. But I don't know if the listeners realize the level we're at right now and how insane things are. David.
Well, thank you, Alex, for giving me the opportunity to speak here to these people. What we see here going on, as you point out, is like a James Bond movie. You know, where you got the billionaire with his army in the hollowed out volcano. Quite frankly, the news that we've got here goes beyond what we saw with the Bond films. I mean, as you well know, this is really like the Terminator, what we're seeing happening here. I mean, there's been stories on the Drudge Report last couple of days, things that we've been talking about. I talked to Dr. Sharkey a couple of years ago about artificial intelligence.
Take over, because I'll start jumping in, but you're right. They're building a Terminator system, but just like the final Terminator movie admits, the last one, it's a human brain at the middle of it. It's a eugenics doctor building a robot takeover. They're telling us the plan. David, I'm going to hand over to you. I love you. I appreciate your work. Hit them and hit them hard, folks. This is huge. I'll be calling in later.
Thank you, Alex. And, of course, there's the Drudge Report. You see the eye from 2001 Space Odyssey, Hal there, you know. And as I look at this, we look at all these different things we talk about on a regular basis. The self-driving cars, you know, Hal there, when you say, open the pod door, Hal, or open the car door, Hal. And he says, sorry, Dave, I can't do that. Hal, I don't want to go where you're taking me, Hal. Sorry, Dave, I've got orders from somebody else. What they are building is a infrastructure that is going to treat you as a child. If we look at this story, robot kill switches and legal status, one of the first things they say about this is, my report on robotics adopted today included a debate on tax and social systems and the possible introduction of, listen, a general basic income. See, they want to make you passive. They want to make you fat and dependent. That's the whole point of the general basic income. And it really grieves me to go back and look at people who are advocating this, people like Charles Murray, who was at the heart of efforts to try to reform welfare. He wrote a book back in the 1980s called Losing Ground. And he pointed out that welfare had harmed the people that it was intended to help. He said it's made them more dependent on government. And now this same guy is advocating universal basic income. We saw it brought up for a referendum in Sweden this last year. The people there wisely rejected that. In Finland, they're starting an experiment that began the beginning of this year of giving people income for not working, because they know that they're going to turn the robots and all production over to, they're going to turn it over to artificial intelligence, and they're going to take your jobs. Even the Obama administration is saying we're going to have anywhere from 20 to 50% unemployment across the spectrum. This is every industry. This is everything from blue-collar to white-collar jobs that they're talking about. We've never seen this kind of displacement before. And so now you've got these people who are trying to keep the system together saying, well, what we're going to have to do is just turn everybody into welfare recipients. And, of course, that is just a system of soft kill. And, of course, we've also talked to Dr. Sharkey in past years, the people who are concerned about autonomous killing robots. We've seen this story earlier in the week about swarms of tiny, intelligent micro-drones. And as my son Lance said, nothing good ever comes from a swarm. And it is quite frightening to look at this. These are autonomous killing machines that operate in a swarm. If we go back and look at this, a fighter jet releases a cloud of tiny flying machines into the skies over California. This is not science fiction, folks. This has been done earlier this week with Pentagon tests successfully. The U.S. Air Force unleashed a swarm of tiny killer robots in a test, as they point out, that could change warfare forever because they're autonomous. They say the drones can act autonomously using artificial intelligence. And they can be used, they say, in targeted assassinations. Of course, that's how they're going to be used. And when they go crazy and they wipe out entire towns or they just keep killing, and they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not really responsible. It was a software error. See, I've programmed computers all of my life. And I do not trust them to be autonomous killing machines. I will never trust a computer to take over my transportation completely. And so this is the thing that's very disturbing about it. And they point out, this system, Perdix, as they refer to these micro drones, are not pre-programmed, synchronized individuals. They are a collective organism, sharing one distributed brain for decision-making and adapting to each other like swarms in nature. 103 drones took part in the test where they demonstrated their collective decision-making. Now, does that scare you? It really should. Every thinking person should be afraid of this type of out-of-control use of the military-industrial complex. And when we look at this situation about giving legal protection to robots, saying we're going to give them certain specific rights and obligations. Really? How about giving humans some rights and obligations? They've removed all of our rights, and now they're substituting these robots in here. Again, another person I've interviewed before, Hugo de Garis, a doctor who's worked all of his life on artificial intelligence. He wrote a book. He called it The Artelect War, and we talked to him about that. In that, he talks about how society will be a few elites. He calls them the cosmos. He says as people realize where this is headed, the vast majority of people rebel. Now, they will stay on Earth. They'll be called the Terrans. But then the cosmos, the people like Jeff Bezos, they will go to near orbit or to Lagrange libration points. And from there, they will use their superior technology to enforce gigadeath on the population until they come back to a subdued Earth. This is what he sees happening. And yet he is drawn to it. To make it happen, because he says, I'm a scientist. That's the problem. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to be joined in the next hour by Lionel. I'm sure he's going to have a lot of interesting things to say about the crazy developments that have happened in the last day or so. And in the third hour, we're going to be joined by Mark Morano of Climate Depot. And there's a lot of news that is coming out. Of course, the EPA has moved in another massive power grab. Today, we have an article by Kit Daniels. EPA is accusing Fiat Chrysler a VW-style emissions cheating, quote-unquote emissions cheating. Do you remember one of the first stories I covered when I came here to InfoWars was the emissions cheating of the EPA itself? They were doing tests on human beings. They had Lisa Jackson going before Congress, working out a little script with then-Congressman Ed Markey. He's now senator. They had a little script, and of course, he read some of her lines for her by mistake because, you know, they're not very good actors. And she eventually was taken out of the EPA with her own email scandal. But Lisa Jackson was lying to the American people, and she was saying that that there were more deaths from fine particulate matter. That's what they call diesel fuel, fine particulate matter. There were more deaths from that than there were from cancer. A patent lie. And yet at the same time, she was selling that lie. You had the EPA. In my hometown, where UNC, the University of North Carolina, was, the EPA was hooking up people that they had selectively screened for respiratory and heart issues, hooking them up directly to diesel exhaust fumes, trying to get them sick so they could increase the regulation. So here they are, coming after yet another car company, because diesel engines, why do they hate diesel engines? Because they're cheap, they're efficient, they're here today, and their competition for the battery-driven cars where the technology is really not there right now. They want to push that against us because it's all part of their control grid. And we've talked about that before. We're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail. And, of course, we're going to talk about the EPA in general, climate change in general. And, of course, Rex Tillerson was just had his confirmation hearings. He had some things to say about that as well. Before I get back into the robot issue, I don't want to cover that in this segment. I want to get back to it in the next segment because there's a little bit more there to talk about. But today we see that they have taken the first steps towards dismantling Obamacare. I think it's interesting to go back and look at Obama's legacy because when we talk about the global elite and when we talk about Obamacare, understand that Obamacare was really a massive subsidy to the insurance companies, to the bankers, the people who have prospered under Obama as the rest of us have been cut off. And we're going to see that trend accelerate unless we reverse that kind of globalism, that kind of crony capitalism. And this report from RT, they did an interview with a couple of people. They say under Obama, family median income dropped and the Democrat Party imploded. See, it's cause and effect. They point out the wealthy recovered from the recession in 2008 very dramatically. They said 97% of all net income gains since 2008 have gone to the wealthiest 1%. See that? The wealthiest 1% get 97% of the gain. They had recovery. The rest of us didn't. Households at the same time in the middle class, the median family income has continued to decline every year in real terms. And you know that. And so what is the result of that? The result of that is that the Democrat Party has the lowest control of state legislatures they've ever had. The head of the Democrat Party points out that they've imploded. Roughly two-thirds of all the state legislatures and the governorships are now in the hands of Republicans. They've lost over 1,000 elected seats under Obama in 8 years. And, of course, he's given us a domestic war. He created a domestic war between Black Lives Matter and the police, between Black Lives Matter and white people. And he even created a war between blacks and blacks in Chicago. We pointed this out. It's amazing irony to me, or chutzpah, maybe it's chutzpah, I guess, that he would go back to his hometown in Chicago where about 4,000 people died, about the same number of people died in the 8 years of Chicago, of Obama in Chicago, that died under George W. Bush in Iraq and Afghanistan. About the same number, about 4,000 people. That's the war that he brought, even between black people and black people in Chicago, where it's a gun-free zone. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. I'm going to continue with what I was talking about at the beginning of the end of the last hour, because this is the big picture, folks. The fact that we have what is turning into a mixture of Brave New World, 1984, and iRobot. Think of it that way. If you don't want to go back and look at Agenda 21 and the UN Agenda for Sustainability 2030, okay? That's their boring. If you read that, that'll put you to death, the details on that, okay? But if you want to think about it in big terms, this is what we're seeing here as a confluence of that. And when I talk about these stories here, the swarms of drones, the autonomous killing machines that are being developed by the military-industrial complex that we've been warned about, that we've now seen go out of control, they're the ones who are behind the attacks on Donald Trump. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let's talk about what is really at the confluence of all this. And we talk about the swarms of killer drones. We talk about the robots that they're now saying we need to give them legal protection and status. And then they start talking about babies made without mothers. Okay? We've been mocked about talking about how they're going to genetically engineer babies without people. Oh, that's science fiction. That's Brave New World. And it's like, exactly. Exactly. Aldous Huxley, one of the brain children of the globalist establishment, was talking about that. And that's quite frankly what is happening here. The vast majority of Americans are duped into passivity by entertainment, and they are the ones that you see exactly as they did in Brave New World. And what they're doing is they're moving to have a system where they can engineer children. Why is it that they're doing that? They want to create superhumans and subhumans. They will be the superhumans, and then they will create a subservient subhuman race. So as we look at this AI situation, yes, there is an issue there. that we need to be careful about. We need to be careful about turning this stuff over to computers. They call anything that is smart AI. And that's part of the bluff that they're doing. For the longest time, back in the day when you first had computers, if you had a printout from a computer and you said, look, I've got a model and I've got a printout here, it's like, oh, bow down and worship that. Douglas Adams made fun of that in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where they had this giant computer crunching for decades to determine the meaning of life. And when it came out, the answer was 42. It's like, well, I'm not sure what that is, you know. And that's what we saw. We, you know, here's your printout. Well, garbage in, garbage out, folks. If you got a bad model, I don't care how big your computer is, how long it took, it's going to spit out some garbage. And so this whole elevating computers to a position of authority over our lives is really what's behind a lot of this artificial intelligence. It really is an artifice, really, set up to try to deceive you, to try to make you stand in awe of what they're doing. And quite frankly, I've worked with computers too long to be in awe of this. I'm quite frankly getting very angry about it. I'm angry about the way the military-industrial complex is moving with these swarms of drones, moving to replace us in our work and saying, well, we'll put you on a welfare system, universal basic income. And then saying, we're going to even take away your reproductive rights because there's too many of you. That makes you dangerous to us. That's what they did. That was the essence of Brave New World. That was the way they pacified people. The government took over reproduction. The government decided how they were going to have, were they going to have subhumans or superhumans? And when we look at this report, it's up on the Drudge Report, the Daily Mail, babies made without mothers will come sooner than we think. They point out last year at the University of Bath, they discovered that they could use sperm and skin cells or any other kind of non-egg cell would be all that they needed for conception. I said, well, okay, it's still a ways off. Now we've got a report that was published today. Top embryologists at Harvard and Brown universities urging nations to begin contemplating the legal minefield that would surround motherless babies. Who are they going to be owned by? They'll be owned by the state. You see, the state has been taking control of your children gradually. They called a government school system for the longest time. You take your child to the government school system, then they can do anything they want in that government school system. And if you didn't like what they were telling your kids because they were introducing sexual issues to them at a very young age, I mean, this is back when it was still heterosexual issues, and there was a father in Massachusetts, I remember 25, 30 years ago, he went there and he said, I don't really want you talking to my child about sex. And it wasn't even the weird stuff they're doing today. I mean, it was ordinary heterosexual sex. And they said, sorry, you don't have any say about this. And he got upset. They arrested him. And he said, I want to get my child out of this. And they said, no, you can't do that. Once you take your child to the school and you drop them off, there's a doctrine that's called in loco parentis, in place of the parents. We are the parents. Once you have surrendered, and this is what the judge said, literally said this, you have surrendered your child to the state. And so they have been pushing this to an earlier and earlier stage. And everyone since Aristotle has known that you get children at an early stage, they become yours for life. And so they've been trying to take over your children, but now they will go to the point where you won't have any claims over these children because they will manufacture them. And so when you look at this in the near term, yes, there are issues that come about with this, and Hugo de Garis has talked about this, as I point out, the Ardlec War. It was actually a war between the elites and the rest of us, a technological war between us, using artificial intelligence. But he said, you get true artificial intelligence, you're not going to be able to tell it, do not harm humanity, do not allow any harm to come to humans by action or inaction. See, once they get to that point, you're not going to really be able to boss them around. And they also want to have something that really has that human touch. So in my personal opinion, I think, again, we can always talk about, is it going to be robots or is it going to be a Brave New World situation? Is it going to be 1984 or is it going to be a Brave New World? Are we going to get the boot in the face? Yes, some of us will. The rest of us, they'll pacify with hedonism, with passivity, with a universal basic income. That's the way it's going to work out. And when we look at this, I believe that the robots are going to be the subhumans that they're going to manufacture. Remember that the term robot that was first used in the play was, I believe it was a Czech word for slave. They're simply looking for slaves. They simply want to make all of us slaves. That is the ultimate end goal of the elite, of the military industrial complex, of these people that we were warned about by Eisenhower. Let's go back to this war that we're seeing now. that is the one that's right in front of our face, that the New York Times talks about the war with the media and within the media. They say Donald Trump's news session, his press conference yesterday, starts a war with and within the media. Well, it's a fake war, isn't it? As I pointed out, Piers Morgan said, the only prostitutes in any of this are the journalists themselves. And we have RT coming in and saying they have an interview with a former German MP who is also the former defense spokesman for Angela Merkel's party. He said, when you see the situation in Washington, I think they're not willing, those who lost the election, to accept the new president, whose name is Trump. What's going on in Washington sounds like the beginning of a civil war. Yes, exactly. He said there is a network of resistance against the president who will be in office on the 20th of January. And I think when you look at the reality in Europe, people of all of our European countries want to live in good relations with the Russian Federation. Of course they do. They don't want war. It's the people at the top that want war. So when we look at this and we say, well, there's a war with the media and there's a war within the media, that's kind of like saying, well, if you guys could all get along, there wouldn't be a fight. This isn't simply about the media. That's what we see. And of course, they're part of it. They are the foot soldiers of this. But understand that it's not simply limited to that. It's these people behind it that we're talking about, the people who are engineering this entire system, whether it's the swarms of robots or the manufactured humans or the AI or the driverless cars or packing you into the cities with Agenda 21. Those are the people who are really directing it. I mean, in the same way that you have a real war, you say, well, if only those soldiers at the front would stop fighting with each other, we could have peace. No, it's much deeper than that. It's the people who are pushing them out into the war. He pointed out, he said, there was no hostility between Russia and Europe. The hostility is organized in a very artificial way, and it is the same way of organizing hostilities as we see nowadays against Trump. Again, this is the former German defense spokesman. He says, this makes it very clear. There's a network of Democrats and Republicans in a war establishment in Washington that is not willing to accept the ballots. He argued that the EU and Moscow had had excellent relations before something changed in U.S. policy. See, it was the U.S. that restarted the Cold War. Absolutely. And then you've got this article here from Glenn Greenwald. And he points out the deep state is going to war with the president-elect and using unverified claims. And then he excoriates Democrats for cheering this. He said the serious dangers posed by a Trump presidency are numerous and manifest. See, he doesn't agree with Donald Trump. But he says there are a wide variety of legitimate and effective tactics to combat those threats. Look, you can be partisan. You can disagree with people. But when you start resorting to censorship, when you start resorting to the kind of character assassination and the types of things that we've seen the CIA do in other countries. Remember, it was our founding fathers, James Mason, who warned us that the tools that we use to fight wars abroad will come home to haunt us in tyrannies at home. And that's what we're seeing here now. The CIA that we created to fight our wars for us, to get involved abroad, to take down these monsters that we were told existed abroad. Now those monsters have turned on us internally. He says, cheering for the CIA and its shadowy allies to unilaterally subvert the U.S. election and impose its own policy dictates on the elected president is both warped and self-destructive, empowering the very entities that have produced the most shameful atrocities and systemic deceit over the last six decades is the desperation of the worst kind. This is what the left is doing, says Glenn Greenwald. He says, look, I don't agree with his policies, but don't do this. You're going to burn our country down doing this. He said, demanding that evidence-free, anonymous assertions be instantly venerated as truth. Why? Because the media put this out there that we're supposed to instantly respect. He said, despite emanating from the very precincts designed to propagandize and lie, this is an assault on journalism, on democracy, on basic human rationality, and it casually branding domestic adversaries who refuse to go along as traitors and disloyal foreign operatives is bankrupt morally and certain to backfire on those who are doing it. And this is what it fundamentally is. It is the CIA that's moving against this. It's John McCain who's moving against this. We give you credit, John. Good for you, John. Good for the CIA. We know exactly what you're about. You've been exposed just like the fake media. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Before you slip into unconsciousness, I like to have another kiss.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to be joined by Lionel in the next segment, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of interesting things to say about what happened with the press conference yesterday, but of course, the bigger picture. And we're going to play you in just a second here a clip. Democrats vowing to stall Trump's cabinet picks. They're going to do anything they can to stop him. We've had Chuckie Schumer come out and say, I'm going to vote against the first guy he puts up for Supreme Court. He doesn't know who it is. He's just going to vote against it just to vote against it. That's the kind of opposition that they say, oh, you're obstructionist when you don't do what we want to do when the Democrats are in power. But of course, that's what he's going to do. Pure obstructionism. Now, yesterday, I was criticized specifically about, they said, profiteering. This is Media Matters, George Soros' organization. Of course, George Soros gives billions to all of his organizations, his non-governmental organizations that have created revolutions throughout Europe. And he's trying to do that here with Black Lives Matter, with people like Media Matters. And so they accused us of profiteering off of the shooting in Fort Lauderdale. We simply said to people, look, you can protect yourself with body armor. If they're not going to allow you to protect yourself with a gun, at least you can get body armor. But these people who you would think they're all the time talking about how horrible guns are and how many people are getting shot in the gun-free zones like Chicago and airports. And, of course, they'd been warned that that was going to happen in airports. And we say, look, airports, schools, places like Chicago where you can't have guns, they make it impossible to defend yourself. At least you can have this. I mean, if I had to live in Chicago, I literally would have my kids wearing a bulletproof vest as they're sitting in the apartment, because in many of these areas, people are shot in their apartments as they're sitting there watching television. That's how bad the violence there is in Chicago. But of course, we were accused of profiteering. The same way, I guess it's profiteering that when we tell people, hey, you need to clean up your water because there's all kinds of toxic stuff in the water. Maybe you should filter your water. Instead, people who didn't filter their water found out after the fact they'd been giving lead to their children. And then they're going to find out someday, they're going to eventually learn and realize the effects of fluoride and glyphosate and some of the other things that are in the water. So we tell you these things, we give you things that are defensive, and, you know, that's supposedly profiteering. No, that's how we fund the operation. We don't get millions of dollars of subsidies as the major networks do, as NPR does. We don't get charitable donations. What we try to do is we offer you products that are going to protect you, that are going to help you with your health. And so in that light, we have put out the body armor. We've also put out a Make Our Bodies Great Again initiative, as this time of year, as people start thinking about their health, thinking about the next year, how they're going to do better the next year. They're going to give themselves more exercise, better nutrition, set up a good base. We've put a lot of our products, our most popular products, on sale. We've got Brain Force 30% off. Super Male Vitality, 30% off. Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. So they used to put iodine, they used to supplement that into your food. Now they don't do that as much, into the salt. But this is a great form of iodine. It's something that you need to have there. Same thing with vitamin B12. We got 20% off Secret 12, 20% off Liver Shield, 20% off Natural Sleep Aid Knockout. That's a great way to make sure that you get your baseline of sleep. That's very essential to your health. Prostaguard, 20% off. You'll find all those at InfoWarsLife.com. Also, we've gotten in an emergency shipment of DNA Force. We sold out of DNA Force over a month ago. It's been out for a while, so we're offering that as 10% off right out of the gates to help you get stocked back up. It's very difficult for us to produce this. It's a difficult and expensive ingredient to get. BioPQQ, you can find all the clinical studies, look at them online. There's 175 clinical studies that show how important this supplement is. Just one batch of this stuff costs us more than $30,000, so it's very expensive to produce, very difficult to obtain. That's why we're out of it. And a 10% discount on this supplement is something that is very substantial. So again, it's now back in stock. It could be months before we get another shipment of DNA Force. This is just an emergency shipment that we've gotten back in, so make sure that you move on that. And if you are not set up for auto ship, think about that. That's one thing that keeps you from ever running out of the things that you have determined you want for your baseline health. You can sign up for that, get a 10% discount on everything that you sign up for. And if your recurring order is more than $50, we'll give you free shipping on that as well, because that helps us provide our supplies on a regular basis. Now, I want to play this clip before we go to break and before we get Lionel come back. This is the Democrats vowing to stall Trump's cabinet picks.
Democrats are vowing to stall action on 8 of Trump's picks.
And this type of obstructionism is enormously anti-democratic.
It's important the Justice Department have its senior leadership in place without delay.
I think we owe deference to a president for choices to executive positions.
Republicans have prevented votes on judges, on agency heads, and on administration secretaries. This is wrong.
My idea would be to go boom, 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 boom with them.
We have always had the tradition of moving these nominees as quickly as we possibly could.
As much as some people in this room don't like it, he was elected president of the United States by the American people.
There you go. That's how they're going to help. We'll be right back with Lionel.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and joining us now is Lionel, an Emmy Award-winning television news decoder, legal analyst, licensed trial lawyer, former prosecutor. You'll find him at lionelmedia.com, also on Twitter at Lionel Media. But before we go to Lionel, I want to get his, first thing I want is his take on this. We've got Rand Paul, who's saying that the people who leaked this information on Trump should go to jail. And I think it's very interesting. He makes a very compelling point. And of course, Lionel is also a former prosecutor, and I'd like to get his take on this. Let's play this clip and get Lionel's take on this. Rand Paul.
Senator Paul, Donald Trump also said today and acknowledged today in his press conference that Russia probably was behind cyber attacks in the past election, but he also struck back at allegations in an intelligence dossier that he said weren't fairly vetted or even right, but this almost sounded like a cabal on the part of intelligence officials. What do you make of it?
What I would say is that if there's private information that someone is blackmailing a public figure and the public figure or someone takes it to the intelligence agencies, you would think it would be private. And really, this is so important that I think whoever leaked it should be prosecuted. Someone should go to jail. If this was an intelligence agency head that talked to the media, they should go to jail. If this was part of the Obama administration, they should go to jail. The reason is you don't want your public figure succumbing to blackmail. Now, he's saying the information is false, and that's I have to rely on his word on that. But the thing is let's say any public official is being blackmailed. What do they tell you to do? You're supposed to go to the FBI and give them the information. But if you can't trust the FBI to keep it secret, and the FBI is going to tell the press what someone's blackmailing you about, what will happen is it will lead to a situation where public figures may be more liable to be extorted or to be blackmailed. So this is a very serious thing.
But, you know, that's exactly what your colleague, Senator John McCain, did with this, as for what you outlined, that someone gave this or he got wind of this, sent it and went to the FBI with this information and let them, you know, pursue it. What do you think of the approach he took?
I don't know what all happened. All I can say is when information is given the FBI, particularly information that people are using to blackmail somebody, it has to be kept private, and no one will want to give information to the FBI if the FBI is going to release blackmail information to the public. This is essentially what happened. Somebody is releasing information that was trying to be used to blackmail it, and it turns out the president-elect says it's not true, but what's more important than any of that is that you can't let the intelligence agencies release blackmail information to the public. It had to either be them, or I'm not sure if the Obama administration was in this meeting. I'm not sure how the information got out, but this should not be released to the public. That's crazy. These are allegations. I have no way of ascertaining whether they're true or false, but it's absolutely inappropriate for someone to be putting this out in the public.
All right, that's an interesting point that Rand Paul makes as he's talking to Neil Cavuto. Joining us now is Lionel. Lionel, what is your take on that?
It's fascinating. It is fascinating how this started. David, where do we begin? I'm serious.
I know.
Where do I begin? If I could just have 1 minute of a proem, a prolegomenon, if you will, just an introduction. Since I have become relatively aware of what's going on, I thought that it couldn't get any more complicated before. Bill Clinton, I thought, my God, look at the media, they're after Bill Clinton, and the right wing and the left wing. And it was very simple, right wing, left wing media. Right wing, left wing media. And the media would sometimes vacillate or be somehow maybe a little bit skewed one way or the other. Now we have left wing, right wing, alt left, alt right, media, fake news media, various internet platform media, controlled media. Then you have Donald Trump, who completely upset the apple cart and poses an existential threat to everyone. He is a threat, David, to everyone, to the left, to the prototypical right, to the globalists, to the international banksters, to the deep state, whatever you want to call it. He has upset the apple cart. And so consequently, he is going to be the beneficiary of this frisson, this calamity, this complete unraveling of everyone. He can just sit back, say nothing, and watch what has happened. I, again, cannot believe how there used to be something called somewhat this notion of journalistic integrity. And we needed to always, you know, David, back up independent alternative media platforms and the like. Now, they are themselves under attack and sometimes deservedly so. So what I've just said in perhaps 30 or so seconds of sounds like complete disjointed gibberish, because that's exactly what the state we're in right now. I don't know from moment to moment who's in charge. Rand Paul makes a lot of sense. I think what I used to think makes sense but Trump intel leakers should go to jail. First, let us stop with this idea, this fetish, David, that we have about putting people in prison and in jail. Let's just stop this. Let us stop this idea that speech, leaked speech, whistleblowers, whether it might be Daniel Ellsberg, Assange, Snowden, who knows, a concerned citizen, think of the Aaron Brockovich model. When you allow this trope or meme to be suggested that whistleblowers, that people who leak should go to jail, that poses a very, very serious threat. So the first reaction to all First Amendment scholars and lovers of liberty should be, wait a minute, stop. Let us look at this very carefully and see if there's another way, because anytime First Amendment and free speech is thwarted, David, we all lose.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, Barack Obama, with using the 100-year-old 1917 Espionage Act, put more journalists and whistleblowers in than all the other presidents in the last 100 years combined. He put them into jail. So there's been a lot of move against whistleblowers. And I think the interesting thing in defense of Rand Paul, when people said, oh, we got to put Snowden in jail, we've got to put WikiLeaks and Julian Assange in jail, he said, all right, fine. You want to put them in jail for releasing that information? Then fine. You put the people in the NSA whose crimes they exposed, put them in jail as well. Right. Okay. So I think that's where he's coming from. And I look at this, I think what Rand Paul doesn't want to go, where he doesn't want to go, is where we saw this German former defense spokesman say, a member of parliament in Germany, say, look, this is a war. You've got the military-industrial complex coming after Donald Trump. When Neil Cavuto started talking about John McCain, and he said, well, didn't John McCain do the right thing? Didn't he give this stuff to the FBI? I think the intention of the FBI and the people who leaked this out there was to do character assassination on Donald Trump. And so that is the issue. And so Rand Paul didn't want to go to it to say, hey, this is an attempted coup against Donald Trump. Instead, he's saying, hey, you've got a situation here where the FBI is supposed to investigate blackmailers. And when somebody is being blackmailed for something, they ought to be able to go to them, especially if it's not true. They ought to be able to go to them and say, hey, I want you to investigate this, and expect that the FBI or the intelligence services aren't going to put that out in the press. And I think that is a weaponized abuse of their office, an abuse of their trust to do that. I think that's what he's really kind of speaking to here.
Well, look, again, I'm very sensitive to the notion of jail, number one. Number two, I wish Rand Paul would have said, this is precisely a coup. Mm-hmm, what it is. Rand, with all due respect, sir, grow a pair, call it the way it is. That's exactly what this is. Now, David, you remember in the old days, a lot of the youngsters and the millennial types might not know this, but during the heyday of J. Edgar Hoover, He would do the following. Let's say you were a congressman and or senator, and let's say, more importantly, you were in charge of my budget. And I would go to your office and I would say, Senator Knight, may I speak with you for a moment? Yes, close the door. I said, listen, I just want you to know something. We have this information here, and it would be very, very dangerous if this ever got out. I just want you to know that it's safe with us. Don't worry, we have stopped this, any through the channels, and we will make sure that it never gets out. Now, about that funding, and that's kind of sort of what this is, but not as artful. What McCain is doing is basically saying is he says, hey, look, I'm just trying to pass this along. I'm not trying in any way to discredit President-elect Trump. What I'm doing is merely saying that this is a bigger issue. This could compromise the safety and the integrity of American intelligence and blah, blah, blah. And I'm doing it for, it just so happens that President-elect Trump, a man whom I loathe, happens to be the beneficiary of this bad news. But let me just stop right there. Look at this fellow right here. Let me ask you a very simple question, David. Good guy, bad guy? Answer the question. Good guy or bad guy?
Which one? Are you talking about McCain? Sorry? Oh, on screen. Oh, sorry. Yeah. James Clapper. Yeah, absolutely. I would say a bad guy. This is a guy they ask, are you spying on the American people? Are you collecting stuff? And of course, you know, he can't even make eye contact with Ron Wyden. He's looking down and rubbing his eye, you know.
Do you remember, again, years ago, I'm very historic today, when Jeremiah Denton, the brave POW in Vietnam, was being asked questions, and he was blinking in Morse code, like, yeah, they're beating me, they're torturing me. Clapper was saying, well, and he still has it. I mean, they're still talking about perjury of the past with him. I mean, this man is not the, you know, the standard bearer of veracity, but he's thinking, well, now let me just get down to brass tacks, David, because you know when it comes down to brass tacks, that's our middle name. I'm a trial lawyer by profession. I love facts. If there's no facts, there's no evidence, there's no fact, it never happened. It never happened. You may be a lot of things, but if I don't have proof of it, it never happened. Number one, to date, as we speak, and President-elect Trump kind of let me down with this one. You know, when he said, okay, look, I admit, okay, maybe there was some Russian hacking. Excuse me. What evidence of Russian hacking is there? There is none.
Yeah, we had John McAfee on yesterday.
They talk about it.
He destroyed that. And we've seen one article after the other, people who are technically proficient, people who are in the cybersecurity business, white hats, who have totally destroyed this phony report that we got before, the phony dossier that broke a couple of days ago. So,
now,
yeah.
A couple of things, too. Let's say tonight you go home to your palatial manse and the front door is broken. It's shattered. It's hanging on the hinges. And you go inside and nothing's been taken. Nothing. You and your family say, no, we did just an inventory and nothing's been taken. You call the police and you say, I've been burglarized. Okay. Technically, you really happened because somebody came in. Was anything taken? No. But we were burglarized. So we were hacked. I guess there's evidence of maybe Russia or somebody entering, abutting, doing something. That's not, David, what we're talking about. Imagine this story. Russian FSB agents under the direction of Vladimir Putin changed the vote count, and Donald Trump actually received only 15 votes. Now, that's a good story. Now, that's a hack I want to talk about. Now,
and I think that's what they're trying to imply, because they keep talking about it being hacked. I think that's what the public is hearing, and that's why you've got Homeland Security moving into the voting machines, trying to make their move on that. Yeah.
Listen to how language is so important. Nobody talks about the veracity, the authenticity of the information. Let's assume another arguendo, God forbid, a spouse were to come home and find her husband's phone. It says, I found pictures of you with your secretary in rather compromising positions. And the husband responds with, I've been hacked. Now you can say, I don't care whether I've been hacked or not. Is this or is this not you dressed in an Ike jacket and a whip? Dressed like a barn owl costume. All right. The problem is that we ask them in this particular question, all right, let's assume, as we lawyers say, arguendo, for the sake of argument, let's assume that there was hacking there. Was the information that was revealed, was it true? Let's look at it. Was there evidence that the Democratic Party itself subverted, let's say, Bernie Sanders or did something? That's number one. Number two, which is the most important, explain this to me. And I want everybody watching and listening from sea to shining sea and from around the world. How exactly did this happen? Did somebody, let's say, in Austin one day walk up to the polling booth and a man says, honey, something happened right now. I'm feeling this. I was going to vote for Hillary Clinton, but I think the DNC was hacked. And for some reason, I may not be sure about this, I'm voting for Donald Trump now. I don't know why. I'm voting. What? Do you mean to tell me all of those people, 65, 60, whatever, millions of people who showed up, and the tens of thousands to the rock star show called the Trump Extravaganza, why were they voting for him? Did it have anything to do with, you know, honey, I would have never voted for Donald Trump, but you know, this amazing, invisible, mysterious hack that I've never heard about until after the election has changed me. That's gone. Now, you mentioned something else, which is great too, because David, as you normally do so brilliantly, you inspire me. I think language is a critical thing. How we say things. Years ago, we used to have a joke in criminal law when somebody would ask us, is this illegal? I say, no, it's unlawful. Or I'd interview a client. I'd say, you ever been convicted of a crime? And he'd say, convicted? Convicted? And they go, okay, we got a part. Now, you notice this, David. There was not documents found. Pictures, movies, GIFs, JPEGs. Oh, no, 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 no. You see, David, they found a dossier. They a dossier. And I guarantee you, more people turned around and said, hey, Buford, yeah, what the hell's a dossier? Is that like a bidet? Is that like that French toilet? What is a dossier?
Did they find it in an attaché? Was it, yes. That makes it give it more credibility, yeah.
Yes,
gravitas, yet, there you go.
Yes, gravitas, and better yet, I think it was in a communique. Those things we heard in all those spy movies, a communique. I'm sure that Alex, when he sends you memos, he sends you communiques. So anyway, so all of a sudden, we now have communiques. Now, in this thing, I want to also speak about something. Again, part of the multivariate theme here. As you know, under the case of New York Times against Sullivan, this is the consummate, the most important seminal libel case in our American jurisprudence. When a public figure sues for libel, defamation, and the like, and because that public figure is a public figure and is able to summon a press conference or hold him or herself out, invite controversy, maybe oftentimes as a politician, when they are allegedly defamed or libeled, they have a higher standard, a higher burden. They have to show that that libel, that defamation, that slander was based in malice, that it was malicious, that it was based, for example, a reckless disregard for the truth. When we return after this incredible bump music, I'm going to tell you how the Ben Smith, whatever that little memo, could not have been written better by a plaintiff's lawyer, as he basically described malice in so many words.
They were very careful with it, weren't they? We're going to be right back. I'm David Knight. We have Lionel with us. He's going to break this down. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is the end. Beautiful.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're talking to Lionel. We were just talking about how the people in authority came out with a dossier and a communique, as Lionel pointed out. They use these kind of semantics. They use this kind of sophistry to argue from a position of authority. And we're going to go back. He was just breaking down the difference in terms of libel law, the Sullivan decision, on how a public figure is treated. So we're going to get right back to Lionel on that. But I wanted to remind you again that we have this special that we started at the beginning of the year, people who are wanting to turn over a new leaf in life on their health. And, of course, you need a good base of nutrients and supplements and vitamins and minerals. We've put a lot of these on sale at InfoWarsLife.com. Our 2017 Make Our Bodies Great Again initiative. 30% off BrainForce, 30% off Supermale Vitality, 30% off Survival Shield X2, that's our nascent iodine. Then Secret 12, our vitamin B12 supplement, liquid format, very easy to take, very easy for your body to assimilate, 20% off that, 20% off Liver Shield, 20% off Knockout, our natural sleep aid, 20% off Prostaguard, and many others you'll find at InfoWarsLife.com. Now is a great time to support your health and to support InfoWars. We don't get the massive funding from George Soros, as Media Matters does when they criticize us for trying to capitalize for telling people how to defend their bodies from whether it's Obama's shooting zones, his gun-free killing zones, or whether we try to tell you how to defend your body from the people who are dumping junk into your water, into your food supply. But that's how we make our money. We do that by offering you products that you can use to protect yourself, to protect your family, to make your life better, to increase your quality and vitality of life. So you'll find those specials at InfoWarsLife.com. You'll also find our state-of-the-art carbon nanotube technology that is a state-of-the-art, ultra-lightweight body armor that you'll find. There's also inserts, that insert there. That is our very cheapest format, and that is something you can put into your backpack when you travel, when your kids go to school. That's what I was criticized for, saying, hey, here's something that you could shield yourself with. You know, some people had a bullet stopped at that shooting. One guy had a bullet stopped by his personal computer. This is a lot more effective at stopping bullets than a computer is. And it's a lot larger than an iPhone. Remember, there was a guy whose life was saved because he was in Istanbul at that shooting. And it was an iPhone that stopped a bullet. This is larger. This is designed to stop bullets, not to do something else. This is much more reliable and cheaper, more cost-effective way to protect yourself. Put that in your luggage instead. All right, let's go back to Lionel. Lionel, you know, when they're talking about hacking even, they use semantics. They use it as a verb, is what the way people are hearing it. They're saying, oh, somebody hacked it. They broke into a computer. They stole some information. When in reality, what we're talking about is hack as a noun. We saw that Hillary Clinton was a political hack, and the DNC were hacks, and Podesta was a hack, okay? But they use it very cleverly, don't they?
By the way, special little side note on this ammo, great product there. I'd buy that up real quick because you know somebody's going to say, we can't let people protect themselves from this.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. This is,
you know, buy, no. So, you know, buy it now. Yeah. Operators standing by. Yes. I want to read something to you before, and I brought this to your attention. There is a, as I told you, in the libel law, when I put something out, let's say, and I put something out about David Knight, and you're a public figure, and you sue me, you've got to prove, basically. Now, what I did was I was basically guilty of malice, reckless disregard for the facts, didn't really care. And I hear more music.
Yeah, we ran out of time again. I went so long in the cut. Okay, we're going to be right back with Lionel, and we're going to go straight to that explanation. We're going to be back in less than a minute. He's going to finish that point. All right, we're going to be right back with Lionel. I'm David Knight.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight with Lionel. We hit two hard breaks, and Lionel was making a point about the Sullivan decision with the Supreme Court, the difference in how they treat libel if it's a public figure. Go ahead. I'm going to give you the floor and let you make
your point finally.
Yeah, I'm sure. Go ahead.
By the way, Towns Van Zandt, Poncho and Lefty, you can interrupt me with that. Great song anytime. By the way, David, don't you wish real life where if we're talking to relatives or friends we don't like, we just cue the music and we say, oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time. All right. This is from Ben Smith. This is the publisher of BuzzFeed. I just want you to remember now very quickly. In order for a public figure, Trump, to sue, you've got to basically prove malice. He's got to show that you published something with a total disregard for the facts or the truth. And he writes, as you have probably seen this evening, we published a secret dossier making explosive and unverified allegations about Donald Trump and Russia. Stop right there. That's it. There's your suit. Thank you. You said you just wrote And apparently he had no lawyer or somebody, you know, help him. But I, if I were Trump's lawyer, could not have written something better. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, how do we know this was unverified? Well, let's go to the horse's mouth here. So now what we have to understand, though, David, and this is a bigger issue here. You know, a lot of times, and I say this with all due respect, you know, newsrooms and, you know, like Huffington Post and Google, there's a lot of 20-somethings and good people. It's not 20-something or 30-something. It's just some things that we're talking about. And they sit around, they wear flannel, and they throw a football, and they, hey, this is great, and I got a bunch of likes. And I want to tell them, do you understand that you're hitting enter and you sending a story up into this permanent ether called the internet, is like you firing into a crowd. You can't take that back.
That's right.
You are now entering the world, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. And by the way, let's applaud alternative bloggers, and you're going to be it. But you are now entering into something. And by the way, you know, years ago, I used to think that motorcycle drivers should be held to a different standard of care, because whenever you tap a motorcycle in traffic, you can kill somebody, or it will be a little bumper fender bender with a car. Well, if you made a mistake in a little local Austin or New York newspaper, kind of a penny saver local thing, you know, you can say, can I have those copies back, please? I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Issue a retraction. And it could be the most blasphemous, horrible thing, but it wasn't that big of a deal because nobody really heard it. And okay, we can bring it back. Now, I can take something which really isn't that big of a deal, but by virtue of how many people it reaches, it now is elevated to a level of contamination, if you will, that becomes deadly and toxic. This is another aspect of this story. Now, remember, Gawker was basically put out of business.
Oh, yeah.
But what they published was the truth. I mean, it was a violation of rights, and but nobody ever said, hey, wait a minute, Hulk Hogan, that's not Hulk Hogan. You got the wrong person. No, no, they said I was. So if you can get in trouble, there's an old Sicilian expression that says, if you can get in trouble for saying a little, think what happens if you say a lot. Well, if you can get in trouble for basically publishing the truth, and normally truth is a defense and libel, what happens if this doesn't take place? Now, David, imagine this.
The intent was to do harm, you know, is what it was there, right?
Well, it sure wasn't to make him look good. And by the way, if you as an editor publisher got the story and you said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. Donald Trump is in Russia. I'm not going to go through this because you know all the terrible puns, but no. Now, that's that. A couple of things we've got to understand here. First, the reason why it's critical that people go after Putin is because, now you got to work backwards. Putin is the boogeyman. Putin is the boogeyman who justifies NATO.
Yeah. NATO was the... That's the news. That's the music is coming out of nowhere. We're out of time. And you're absolutely right. They want to tie Donald Trump's hands in terms of easing the relations that they have now made strained. I absolutely agree with you, Lionel.
David, thanks so much for being with us. I'm sorry we're out of time. You know what, David? Can we come back? David, I'll have you back next time on the Lionel Show.
Thank you, Lionel. That's LionelMedia.com. You'll find him on Twitter at Lionel Media.
I see a bad moon rising.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
I've been listening the last 20 minutes to Lionel and David break down the fact that there's no evidence in this made-up dossier, and that the dossier itself has no provenance, has been floating around for almost a year and a half. My big issue and my question, and what I'd like to get people to focus on out there in the listening audience to really think about, is if they'll do this with 8 days left until the inauguration, what else are they going to do? That's my point. Is that the story itself is a distraction, I think, from the larger issue of the MSM dropping any pretense of objectivity and just going completely insane and wild. Don't they understand, even if they stop Trump from getting in, they're done. They're discredited. They lost this war. They got so damaged that even if they win, which is a super long shot, it's a Pyrrhic victory. Everybody knows you hate America. Everybody knows that you've got mental problems and are just openly involved in an attempted takeover of this republic using disinformation. And since when are our intelligence agencies publicly involved in our elections while claiming it's the Russians that are involved with no evidence? I mean, this is just over-the-top insane. And the good news is nobody's buying it. So, Lionel, David, what's your take on that?
Well, Alex, we've let Lionel go, but absolutely, it is the fake news. One of the reports we had here is a Russian tech expert that was in the fake intelligence report. And we got to differentiate between these because, you know, we've had so many different fake reports. Remember, there was the first dossier, then there was the second dossier. And as Lionel pointed out, they use those terms just to sound authoritative, to give it gravitas. But the first intelligence report that they came out with saying, oh, we know the Russians did this, that was naming a Russian tech expert in that report. And he said, they never contacted me. You know, they quote these people, they put RT programs in their report that haven't existed for years. They've done everything they can to build this into something that it truly isn't. So that's the first indication that this thing is phony. But here's something else that we got from the report that was put out by Glenn Greenwald. He said that for months, the CIA, with unprecedented clarity, overtly threw its weight behind Hillary Clinton's candidacy. And we've talked about this over and over again. He talks about CIA Director Michael Morell. Again, he was the guy who took over from David Petraeus. Why did he take over from David Petraeus? Because David Petraeus had been careless with national security and thrown this stuff around to his mistress. And he was given a slap on the wrist. At least he lost his job. Nothing happened to Hillary Clinton. And of course, Michael Morell, who replaces David Petraeus, then goes on to endorse Hillary Clinton, even though she has the most egregious violations of national security ever. Not only in terms of the scope of what she, the quantity of what she did out there, but the qualitative intelligence that she put out there. And so he announces his endorsement of Clinton, and then he points out that General Michael Hayden, former director of the CIA and the NSA, had a lot of very vicious things to say about Donald Trump. He said Trump is a useful fool, a naif, manipulated by Moscow, secretly held in contempt, but whose blind support is happily accepted and exploited. Well, that's not true. And we know that. But it kind of tells you where Michael Hayden is. And remember who Michael Hayden is. Michael Hayden is the guy who went to a forum with Judge Napolitano, and he stood up at one point and said, well, I'm a libertarian. And Judge Napolitano and the other guy's like, what? This is the guy who supported no restrictions whatsoever on the intelligence services violating our privacy. Remember, we had that report. We went to, he spoke at Washington and Lee, and he said, I didn't need the Constitution. I didn't need the Patriot Act. I had a direct order from the President of the United States. That's the mentality of people like Michael Hayden. He has absolutely no respect for the rule of law. He says, I don't need any laws. I don't need no stinking laws. I don't need no badges. That's his aspect on this. Okay, that's the danger of all of this. And we can see this today. I was just handed this report from Michael Mikhail Phelan about the New York Times saying now they're going to give the NSA even more power to share intercepted communications. And this is coming as a parting shot from Barack Obama, who has done everything to enhance the surveillance state. And I got to say, as I see all this stuff playing out, in one respect, I'm very glad that it's happened, because Donald Trump is experiencing the dangers of the surveillance state. He is experiencing what can happen when the deep state doesn't like you. And so I hope that what comes out of this is a newfound respect for civil liberty and the rule of law. That's really the solution to this. That's the ultimate solution. It isn't just taking the reins of power and taking these other guys down. If we do it that way, that's not going to work out well for any of us, okay? But the thing that works out well for all Americans, and I hope and I believe that Donald Trump will ultimately take this view, because he is really sided with the common American when it comes to the economy and not with the globalist elitists. And he has to understand that, and I think he is getting this lesson. If he didn't ever understand it before, boy, he is experiencing this from a personal aspect and understanding the danger of these out-of-control intelligence services who absolutely don't care for the rule of law, don't care about personal privacy, could care less about the Constitution and our civil liberties, the rights that we have enshrined there, the rights that we don't get from the Constitution, but that are protected in the Constitution. But here's this article from the New York Times. In its final days, the Obama administration has expanded the power of the NSA to share globally intercepted personal communications with the government's 16 other intelligence agencies before applying any privacy protection. They say the change means that far more officials will be searching through raw data. Previously, the NSA would filter information that it got before sharing intercepted communications with another agency, like the CIA or intelligence branches of the FBI, the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration. The NSA's analysts passed on only information that they deemed pertinent, screening out the identities of innocent people and irrelevant personal information. Now they're not going to do that anymore. Now they go the next step. See the gradual, incremental destruction of every last shred of freedom and dignity that we have left in this country? It's relentless. They will never stop. Somebody has to stop them. And I hope Donald Trump will see where this is leading, see this from his personal experiences, and say, I'm going to stop this, and I'm going to stop it for all Americans. They say now other intelligence agencies will be able to search directly through raw repositories of communications intercepted by the NSA and then apply such rules for minimizing privacy intrusions. And let me tell you, the most dangerous parts of this are not your recorded text messages, your recorded emails, but the metadata that they collect on you showing what you do. All of that little metadata that Michael Hayden was lying to you about, that James Clapper was lying to you about, telling you that's not important. Let me tell you, James Clapper, DNI James Clapper, who lied to Ron Wyden and said, we're not really collecting any information. And then it was just within a couple of months, we had the Snowden leaks that proved that they were and had been for a very long time. That guy, James Clapper, has since the year 2000 been at the forefront of the fastest growing part of the intelligence community, and that is geospatial intelligence. Where are you? Mapping what you do to where you are, mapping the human domain, activity-based intelligence, human domain analytics. That's all part of geospatial intelligence. That has been the fastest growing area of intelligence, and most people are not even aware of what that is. And when he tells you, we're just collecting metadata, that is the most important information, because with that, they can plug that into a computer and run algorithms on you and do the Minority Report pre-crime profiling. And that can turn up false positives. Yeah, it can identify some criminals, perhaps before they do anything. How is that working out for us so far? How has it worked out for us so far, turning over all of our privacy and all of our information to these intelligence services? I mean, just look at this guy, the shooter in Fort Lauderdale. He goes into an FBI agency. They don't even have to spy on him and do any intelligence. He goes into them and says, I'm being compelled to watch these ISIS videos and to go fight for ISIS. Let's send you over here. And less than 2 months later, after they put him into a mental institution, he's down there shooting people. And of course, then it subsequently comes out, this guy had connections to ISIS. They hid that from us for several days. We found out subsequently that this guy had had connections with Islam before he went over to fight as a soldier. So none of this was on the screen of the FBI. They didn't do anything about it. They didn't even put him on a no-fly list. And as I pointed out, one of the first stories that I had when I came here to InfoWars was somebody who was unfairly put on a no-fly list. Had no reason to put him on a no-fly list. He couldn't find out why they had put him on the no-fly list. He couldn't find out if they had really taken him off. They allowed him to fly back from Hawaii. They stranded him in Hawaii. He was on his way to see his wife, who was in the military in Japan. But that's the problem with it. You get false positives, like that guy who was stranded in Hawaii, and then you get situations where the intelligence agencies do absolutely nothing. And I'm just assuming that there wasn't any skullduggery going on. That's a whole other aspect to it that I think really needs to be looked at very carefully. There's a lot of indications that they would like to see this type of thing. We see this every time there's a shooting, like the Navy Yard shooter who says, well, here's my ELF gun, my extremely low frequency gun. And of course, we had situations in the past. We had we had Michael Aquino, part of the Church of Satan, the Church of Set. This guy who went on the Oprah Winfrey show dressed up like Eddie Munster talking about his Satanism, who had been There were allegations that he was involved in pedophilia at the military base in San Francisco, the Presidio, all these different things. And yet this guy continues on with the National Security Agency, and he talked about using ELF decades ago to project mind control situations. So when you got this guy at the Navy Yard, she says, I'm being persecuted by voices and I got ELF. You really don't think that this is credible? You really think that this is over the top? We just had at the Consumer Electronics Show people talking about brain implants at a consumer level. The Pentagon has been talking about this for a long time, and yet people don't want to believe that that can happen. Stay with us. We're going to be right back at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be talking to Mark Morano. We're going to be talking about climate issues and the EPA. And I'm going to give you a report when we come right back about what the EPA has done today. You won't believe it. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We're going to be talking to Mark Morano in the next segment about climate change, what's going to change under the Trump administration. Of course, we have, it's just amazing how they continue on with this. Today we had the EPA come after Chrysler. They just got a $4 billion criminal charges. They kidnapped an executive at VW and I guess is held him as ransom until they could get another $4 billion. That takes up to $20 billion that they've gotten from Volkswagen. And now they're going after Chrysler. This is the out-of-control EPA that is at the center of all these different things. Okay, they're trying to take over everybody's water and say, we're going to control your water. Went after that guy with 8 acres in Montana. Remember that? Finding him tens of thousands of dollars a day, getting it up to such a large amount, they wanted to then exercise new powers for the EPA and garnish his wages. They were shut down by the court there. Absolutely out of control. And at the same time they're doing that, they blew up a mine and polluted with heavy metals a river that went through 3 entire states in an Indian reservation. I mean, this is the EPA that we're talking about here. So we're going to talk to Mark Morano in the next segment about the EPA, about climate change, what is going to be changing under the Trump administration. Before we do, I want to remind you that we've gotten back in stock DNA Force. It's been out of stock for several months. And actually, it's a little over a month ago, I should say. And we were able to get an emergency supply of DNA Force in. It's very difficult for us to get this. It's very expensive to produce, but it's also a very scarce ingredient to get the key ingredient in this, BioPQQ. And you can look this up. There's 175 clinical studies about the effectiveness of BioPQQ. Just one batch of this costs more than $30,000. So this is one of our premier, probably the premier product that we have in terms of expense, because it's very expensive for us to produce this. So a 10% discount on that is a substantial savings, and it is our thank you because we have been out of stock for a while. And, of course, this is an emergency shipment. It could be months before we get a larger shipment of this in. So now is the time to stock up on that. You'll find that at InfoWarsLife.com. Also, we have specials of 20 to 30% off, a variety of supplements and things that will help you to fight the toxic garbage that you get in your food and your water supply in the air. And that's something that is very important. You need not only a baseline of support in terms of nutrition, but you also need something that's going to help your body to cope with, to purge these toxins that you're seeing that are put in your water. We've got a lot of different things. We've got Super Male Vitality, 30% off. Survival Shield X2, Nascent Iodine, 30% off. Brain Force, 30% off. That is one of my favorite supplements. I would say it's my favorite supplement in terms of something that I can really feel the difference, and that is Brain Force. Super 12. Secret 12, our vitamin B12 formulation, that's 20% off. Liver Shield, also 20% off. And Prostaguard and Knockout, our natural sleep aid, 20% off of all of those at InfoWarsLife.com. Now, before we go to Mark Morano at the bottom of the hour, one of these reports that came out yesterday, we just kind of touched on a little bit, was the fact that Donald Trump had reached out to Robert Kennedy Jr., because Robert Kennedy has spoken out against the abuses of the CDC, the abuses of mandatory vaccines and that sort of thing. I think it's very important to see people that he's bringing in, on which he would have a lot of disagreements with, but reaching out to people that are Democrats who would disagree with him on pretty much everything except this core issue. Donald Trump has spoken out on this. It's one of the things that really made me stop and say, this guy is genuine. I mean, the first thing about Donald Trump, and we've heard the Republicans so many times say, we're going to close the border, we're going to get rid of Obamacare, and they never did it. They never did any of the things that they said they were going to do. But Donald Trump had been, when I realized that 30 years earlier, he'd spent $100,000 take out ads against the unfairness of NAFTA. I was like, this guy's for real. And when I heard him talking about vaccines, it's like, wow, this guy's not only for real, but he's not afraid to take the heat. And that's what we're seeing here with these attacks on him by the intelligence services, by the elite, by the globalist. It's because he's saying this type of thing, which actually is what Robert Kennedy has said. This is what Robert Kennedy said in hearings in Vermont. He said the CDC is a troubled agency. There have been four separate scathing federal studies about the CDC. I'm not talking about the whole agency. I'm talking about the vaccine division. One by the U.S. State, the United States Senate, a three-year study, one by the House, another by HHS, by the Inspector General, and a study this year by the Office of Research and Integrity. And all together and separately, they paint a picture of an agency that has become a cesspool of corruption. He said, I ate breakfast last week with the president of a network news division. See, this plays into this fake news stuff that we've got from the networks. Another reason why they don't like Donald Trump. I had breakfast, he said, with the president of a network news division. This is RFK Jr. And he told me that during non-election years, 70% of the advertising revenue for his news division comes from pharmaceutical ads. And if you go on TV any night and watch the network news, you'll see they just become a vehicle for selling pharmaceuticals. See, they didn't like Donald Trump because he didn't buy a lot of TV ads from them. He spoke to you directly on Twitter. He didn't spend much money on TV. They didn't like that. Set up a whole new pattern. That's one of the things they didn't like about him. But really, the fact that they make so much of their money from pharmaceuticals, that is a key thing. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about climate change, where it's going to be changing in the EPA under a Trump administration.
Came in last night at 10:30. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in. So move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, little dog, cause the big dog's moving in.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and joining us in this segment is Mark Morano. He's the producer of Climate Hustle. He's also the publisher of Climate Depot. That's a great source, climatedepot.com, a great source of information about global warming. Eco News Center, it was founded back in 2009. And of course, he's also communications director for the Committee for Constructive Tomorrow, executive editor and chief correspondent there at Climate Depot. I want to talk to him about where he sees the Trump administration going with the EPA. As we have a nomination for the head of the EPA by Donald Trump, it's a former attorney general out of Oklahoma, and he has been one of the people at the forefront of challenging the power grabs of the EPA. And here's the latest one that happened today. Today, we've had the EPA now move after Chrysler, and instantly their stock dropped 15% because they know that this is going to be a lot of money. This is the same thing they accused VW of last summer, cheating on their emissions tests. Okay? Now, was anybody killed with this? Absolutely not. In spite of the lies that we were told by Lisa Jackson and then Congressman Markey, now Senator Markey, nobody is dying from this stuff, folks. They're not dying. We got an article here from Climate Depot where the New York Times is saying, as Donald Trump denies climate change, these kids are dying from it. That's seriously their headline. No, that's not true. People aren't dying from this. At the same time they were putting it out, as I mentioned, they were hooking people up, trying to cheat on their test, looking to see if they could get adverse reactions from people showing that diesel fuel was going to harm them. They literally hooked people up at UNC, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, hooked them up to the tailpipes of diesel engines. That's the kind of cheating that the EPA does on their tests. We tried to stop that. We tried to get an injunction against it. Absolutely amazing that our own government wouldn't stop harmful testing on humans, testing that was designed to make them sick so they could increase their regulation, so they could grow their bureaucratic empire. Isn't that amazing? I mean, after Tuskegee and all the other things that we've seen, that they would allow that to continue to go on, and yet they do. And we've seen the government do other types of testing, releasing things in the New York subways. But today, we see the EPA going after Fiat Chrysler. We got an article on Infowars.com from Kit Daniels. They say, you're trying to fool our emission tests. That's not nice. Remember, as we go back, remember we've had situations where there have been large fines, multi-million dollar fines, against people like Ford when they had the exploding Pintos. People would hit the Pintos in the back, and they would explode. Or they would have a situation where they had SUV rollovers. Or they would have airbags that were killing small children, and they wouldn't let you turn those off. Remember that? Then they've got millions of airbags that are being recalled that have actually killed a lot of people because they have failed and go off and shoot metal fragments into you, like a shotgun going off in your face. And they've killed people. So in all these cases, the exploding Pintos, the SUVs rolling over in the early days of SUVs, the airbags that killed small children, the airbags that are killing people now that they won't let you turn off until you can get it replaced. In all of these situations, people have died. Nobody died from these emission scandals. And yet they're trying to put Volkswagen out of business. And the reason they're doing it, folks, is not because they care about air quality. They're using this just like they're using climate change to advance their globalist climate change agenda. They have to have a global crisis so they can have a way to fund a global government. And that's what's truly behind this. Now, this article from Kit Daniel, they point out that if VW retroactively complies with this to fix these vehicles, as Eric Peters points out, he says, the truly grotesque thing is that if the mileage drops as expected, the cars at issue will emit more of the harmful emissions that they've been concerned about. And that's what we've seen with the corporate CAFE standards. Because they gave a differential when they created these things back in 1978, they gave a differential between cars and trucks. People have started using trucks as cars because one of the reasons is they can get bigger engines and they can do other things with them, and they aren't subject to these types of regulations. And so what you wind up having is a situation where the total fuel economy has gone down because people have switched. So let's go to Mark Morano. I didn't see him up on the board here. I wasn't sure that we had connected with him, but we now have Mark Morano, producer of Climate Hustle and publisher of Climate Depot. Thank you for joining us, Mark.
Thank you, David. Happy to be here. And yes, you're completely accurate about the EPA, and even worse than what you're describing, like about the Chrysler attacks by the EPA and their alleged emissions violations. The Republican Congress a few years back, even under George Bush, they have statutorily killed the SUV in America unless Donald Trump's administration and the new Congress tries to change it. And what I mean by that is, you mentioned the corporate average fuel economy standards. They're trying to merge those or bring them in line with what vehicles have been, which means we're talking about Ford F-150 pickups, Jeeps, everything else having to move to aluminum, much lighter weight, the shrinking, the downsizing. The reason people have always liked SUVs are at threat. Yes. And so that's one of the other things they're doing, aside from hassling them with these emission alleged violations. They're now coming after them for their weight, size, materials that they're made out of. It's a way of essentially re-engineering American society in the face of global warming. And they're doing this from everything from our light bulb to our appliances. You know, Consumer Reports even says that high-end washing machines don't perform as well as low-end washing machines of 15 years ago, brand new ones, because of all the energy department, Energy Star, sucking all the available power out of these machines. So they're forced to make them lighter, lightweight, lighter duty. It just goes on and on, and it goes all the way up to our population, whether we can eat beef, our transportation, carbon taxes. So Donald Trump is probably the greatest threat to this agenda that's occurred in the history of the entire, you know, modern environmental movement since 1970.
Oh, absolutely. As you point out, even what we eat, everything that they have put out here, and there really is a globalist aspect to all this that we understand. You've put together a list of, back in 2008, you had a list even then of 650 plus scientists who were dissenting from this so-called science of man-made global warming. They like to say there's nobody that dissents from this. It's a settled issue. We can't even talk about it, because when they get put up against the facts, they don't want to debate them. They just resort to censorship, resort to the idea of arguing from authority. And so it's great when you put together a list of people like that. We just had a professor from Georgia Tech saying, I can't take this anymore. I've got too many knives in my back. I'm getting out of this business. They don't want to hear it. And yet we see them turn this around and say, isn't this horrible? Donald Trump wants to know what these people's position in the EPA is on climate change. He's going to do some kind of a purge. Well, they've been doing a purge, a political purge, all along with this stuff. We're trying to get a situation where we've got real science done, and this is not about real science. This is about pushing an agenda and not allowing other people to push back against it.
Yeah, but you mentioned Judith Curry, this climatologist from Georgia Tech. She's featured in Climate Hustle, my film, which is out this year, 2016. It came out, and it's actually, we're going to be making it available very shortly with Al Gore's sequel coming out here in a couple weeks.
And of course, I'll tell people, too, they can get Climate Hustle. We sell that in our store, so I'll give that a plug here. There you can see it.
Thank you. Yes.
You can buy that at InfoWars Store. A great film.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and Judith Curry, the climatologist who just resigned, she was a tenured professor. She had just had it. She used to be the chair of her department, the climatology department at Georgia Tech, and she basically said that she cannot play this game anymore. And what happened was she was a former believer, for lack of a better word, of the global warming science, aligned herself with the United Nations climate view. And then we had the big ClimateGate scandal, and then she started questioning, and then she's become essentially a full-blown skeptic now. And because of that, she has been faced vilification from her peers. She's all kinds of difficulty getting published. She talks about how the publishing of climate studies comes from universities and foundations and the government. They only want funding that goes one direction. In other words, if you want to get funding and have a career as a climate scientist, you better toe the line that our politicians and our culture is demanding that global warming is dangerous and we need more central planning and government to solve it. Otherwise, you can't be a scientist. And that's what we're facing here. And we have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. calling for climate skeptics to be thrown in jail. Bill Nye, the science guy, thinks that's a great idea, too. We have him on videos talking about what a great idea and how there are skeptics affecting his quality of life.
Yeah.
Bill Nye, and by the way, global warming people have blamed the drought in California on global warming. Now, thank God they're actually getting enough rains and precipitation to actually recover from the drought almost completely. Now they're saying that the floods in California are caused by global warming.
Anything
despite
bad.
The fact that blamed floods and droughts and hurricanes and tornadoes on global cooling in the 1970s. There's no consistency here whatsoever.
You know, you just mentioned RFK Jr., and I was talking about him in the segment before you came on about vaccines. Yeah. Now, Trump may use him to reveal the truth about vaccines and about pharmaceutical industries. But I think that's the genius of what Trump has been doing. As he's been picking these cabinet positions, we look at him and it's like, ooh, look at what this guy said about this. And it's like, oh, that's very inconsistent with what Trump has said. And yet he's picking people who will work with him on particular issues like that they share a point of view on, like he does with RFK Jr. on vaccines. Yeah. And yet when it comes to the EPA head, he goes and gets somebody that the New York Times is just flipping out. They call him a climate change denialist. And that's the key thing, is that they don't talk about you as being a skeptic if you don't agree with them. They talk about you as being a denialist. So you're denying their religion. You are an infidel. I guess we should embrace it as you and I are climate change infidels, aren't we, Mark?
That's right. Yeah, they say, you know, when we say, Michael Crichton, the famous author, had said the global warming is a religion, environmentalist, and they always say, oh, no, it's not. But then we find out the head of the United Nations climate panel, a man named Rajendra Pachauri, when he stepped down over a sexual harassment scandal, he actually said, quote, global warming is my religion, unquote.
Yes.
So we know what is motivating these people. And you're absolutely right. Donald Trump is doing amazing. You could never get. And here's what I never understood about the never Trumpers who alleged to be conservatives. If you get all the previous Republican nominees since Reagan, you have George H.W. Bush, who was an absolute disaster when it came to climate change issues in the United Nations and environmentalism. He set up the entire UN Foundation for the Global Warming Treaties with the Rio Earth Summit in 1992. Mm-hmm. You have Bob Dole, who was so weak on these issues, you can't even really comment. He was just sort of, it was his turn, so they nominated him. You have John McCain, who was nominated in 2008, and he was actually a sponsor of these climate bills. You have George W. Bush, who rubber stamped every UN report, kept the funding coming, and literally accepted all the science and never said a skeptical word out of his mouth. So George W. Bush did that. Then you had Mitt Romney, who had many of Obama's advisors working for him. So when it comes to Donald Trump, particularly on environment and climate, he is the greatest breath of fresh air of any Republican nominee that you could even conceive of.
That's why they hate him so much on this issue, just as on other issues. He's the only one who is not in league with both the Republican and the Democrat establishment, as you just ran down that list of former presidents and presidential candidates. I mean, look at Mitt Romney. He was with Obama on Obamacare. They were going to get that through after the 2012 election, regardless of which way it went. He had already put that through with Ted Kennedy in Massachusetts. They put in RomneyCare, which was fundamentally the same thing as Obamacare. So they know how to get their people in on both the Republican and the Democrat ticket. And this time through, Donald Trump broke through that, and he is coming from the point of view that the rest of us are looking at to try to break this lock on power that both the Democrat and Republican establishment have had.
Yeah, and I think if you go back, this is probably the most successful, if anyone can actually measure success, of a president-elect's term, meaning this is the most successful president-elect period that we've ever had. I mean, this is just a phenomenal time. Here's, if any Republican had doubts or hesitation about Donald Trump, yesterday they were removed when he stared at the CNN reporter and actually said, "You are fake news."
Wasn't that a great moment?
Inconceivable of even Ronald Reagan to go that far. I mean, this is...
That's what I was just going to say. You know, Ronald Reagan really, in the primaries, the moment that Ronald Reagan had, if you remember, was when he stood up and he said, "I paid for this microphone." Remember that? Yes. And he took charge. You know, he was right. And he stood up. He wasn't going to be cowed down by these people. He stood up for what was right. And he showed that he had a backbone. And boy, I tell you what, if you didn't know that Donald Trump had a backbone and you didn't know that he was going to stand up by now, you saw that yesterday. And boy, he was absolutely right to shut down that guy, Acosta, from CNN. The arrogance and the sense of entitlement that that guy had, shouting at him and saying, you know, you can't do this. I mean, it's like, yeah, just watch me. I mean, it was amazing.
Yes. And so what this does is, because Donald Trump literally doesn't care. And the next thing I'd like to see Trump do, by the way, is in the press room. Right now, the whole first row of the White House press room is reserved for the usual suspects, ABC, NBC, CNN. They need to clear all that out and replace it, you know, with all the new sources of news and just say goodbye to them. Maybe give them one chair they can rotate. You can call them the quirky alternative media or something like that. But they deserve not one ounce of respect. Their entire mission right now is to impeach Donald Trump. And they're going to be working with every enemy that of Donald Trump to try to bring his presidency down, as this most recent ridiculous news story that they tried to pass from BuzzFeed and CNN. But I think what's most important here when it comes to these issues of climate and environment, Republicans, in fact, almost every single former Republican EPA director came out and supported President Obama's climate policies, his climate regulations through the EPA.
Look at what they did with the Paris agreement just last year. They go over there and they're posturing, saying, "Well, we're going to have something to say about it." And what they did was, they immediately, within 3 days, with their omnibus, they funded it. The Republicans funded it. So, yeah.
But all these former directors, what happens is, when Republicans get in office, Republican presidents and obviously senators and congressmen, they don't want to be seen as against the environment. I worked in the Environment and Public Works Committee. I would see great conservative senators, top staff, show up at meetings and say, "We got to be careful. We can't look like we're against the environment when it comes to this climate bill coming up." They'd be no backbone, and they would not accept the premise that the climate activists in the United Nations have given us the information. They admit we have the top UN official named Otto Edenhofer actually says, the vice chair of this climate panel, actually say, it's not about environmental policy. We will redistribute wealth by climate policy. This is no longer about the environment. They're actually open about what they want to do. They talk openly of global governance. In the film Climate Hustle, we actually have Al Gore talking about that, you know, climate bills are lead to global governance. That's what they're looking for, a centrally planned thing, where we had Nancy Pelosi went to China in 2009 and she said, "We need a complete inventory on every aspect of our lives in order to fight global warming." And they've got every aspect of our lives covered, from our home thermostat to our vehicles to our appliances to light bulbs to what we eat to how we travel to how we live to our energy choices, even down. And we actually, in the film, feature the most frightening thing at all, an NYU professor talking about how we're going to genetically shrink human beings, genetic engineering to solve global warming, and give skeptics and people who don't want to go along psychiatric drugs and make them more malleable to the government agenda. I mean, this is not something people should be not angry
about.
Well,
that's right. It's not just our jobs. It's not just our standard of living. It's also life expectancy. And it is globalism. It's them taking over control of our economy. And if they say it's a global situation, why are they giving exemptions to China on this? Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Mark Moreno. to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to go back to Mark Morano in just a moment. I just wanted to remind you that we have our 2017 Make America Great Again, Make Our Bodies Great Again, actually, our American bodies. You can also use this if you're not American. It's a great supplement. We have discounts of 20 to 30% off. Things like BrainForce, Super Male Vitality, Survival Shield X2, our Nascent Iodine, those are all 30% off. Also, our tactical nanotechnology body armor, state-of-the-art, patented form of carbon nanotube technology makes it the lightest, the strongest, and most flexible body armor on the market. Even though it's only a quarter of an inch thick, this body armor is field-tested to stop the most powerful pistol rounds in production. It's waterproof, super lightweight, made in the USA, comes with a 20-year warranty, and as I pointed out before, you can get, we have the full vests that you can buy. Those are more expensive. If you, the very cheapest thing we have is also very effective to put into your backpack, into your luggage, and that is a rectangular, it's got rounded edges on it. You can insert that into your backpack, and that makes a great shield if you happen to be at a Fort Lauderdale airport shooting or any of the other gun-free killing zones that our government continues to create. Like Chicago, for example. You might want to, if you live in Chicago, you might want to get one of those and put it in your kid's backpack because that's the world the Democrats have created for us. Also, we're talking to Mark Morano, and he has created a film, Climate Hustle. That is also available at the InfoWars store. And Mark, you know, one of the things I see here is the New York Times bragging about the Sundance Film Festival and the fact that the theme this year is climate change. And, of course, Robert Redford just tells us that just happens to be coincidental. We like to stay free of politics, he said. And yet the key thing that they're promoting is the next Al Gore convenient lie, an inconvenient sequel. So if people want to have the information that they can show people to counter Al Gore's propaganda film, I think they really need to see your opposing view, and that is Climate Depot. You know, we don't have a problem arguing our point of view with these other people. They're the ones who are trying to shut down any discussion of this. They're the ones who are trying to censor it at academia. But we want to have that debate.
Yeah, we absolutely do. In fact, the film is interesting because it actually profiles left-wing, politically left-wing scientists who endorsed President Obama, who voted for Al Gore, but are appalled by their science views. We have an Ivy League professor. And we go through that whole thing to show that it's the left wing now that is examining it. And they believe that essentially global warming has hijacked the real environmental movement. The real environmental movement used to be concerned about clean air, clean water, conservation. And now it's all arguing about, you know, these arcane arguments about how much CO2 is in the atmosphere. And we show in the film that geologically speaking, the Earth is in a CO2 famine. In other words, CO2 is in near all-time lows. And the Earth is one of the coldest temperatures it's ever been. We've been in very few periods in our Earth's history have we had ice at both poles. So, you know, we're in the 10% coldest part of the Earth's history. Living right now. So the idea that we are the control knob of the climate does not hold up. And Bill Nye just recently said that we basically need the UN climate treaty so that we'll have less droughts. These liberals actually believe that EPA regulations and UN treaties can control the Earth's thermostat, hurricanes, tornadoes. It's beyond absurd. It's akin to old witchcraft that they believe legislation can alter the weather. And they believe, you know, they used to believe witches can alter the weather.
It's amazing. You know, it's like I said yesterday, Mark, it's like these guys flipped a coin, you know, heads, it's going to warm, tails, it's going to cool. Yeah. they made the wrong call. You know, when they started out the first Earth Day, they were telling us we're heading into a new ice age. And then they flipped it and went the other direction, you know, but now they've been shown that that's not working either. All their predictions, all their dire predictions have fallen on the ground. And I think it's very important for people to get your film. Again, that's Climate Hustle. We sell it at InfoWars Store. Yes, it's a great thing. You need to have this debate, folks. And I always looked at the news. I would get people on either end of the spectrum, and I would see what both of them had to say and then make up my mind. And we want to have that debate. Thank you so much for joining us. Mark Morano, ClimateDepot.com. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Yeah, there's a storm loose. Sirens in my head. Wrapped up in silence. Our circuits are dead.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're handing the broadcast over to John Rappaport. Of course, no stranger to those of you who have watched InfoWars broadcast. He's been a frequent guest here, and of course, he frequently hosts the fourth hour here at InfoWars. Also, he's been a frequent contributor to articles as well, and his site is nomorefakenews.com. And John, fake news is everywhere, and we've had Donald Trump, in a big way, call out CNN for just exactly what they were yesterday, fake news. And Alex Jones put out a report yesterday saying, mark this date. This is the date that it essentially we remove the mask from these people. We've now had the president point out that the press emperors have no clothes. They got caught with their pants down on this filthy, false made-up report that they put out there. I think Piers Morgan said it great when he said, look, the only prostitutes involved here are the ones who are journalists in this. So your comments on this, John?
Well, that's what I was going to lead with, actually, because I agree. Yesterday was, mark it down, folks, because this wasn't just somebody saying, guess what, fake news. This is a president-elect press conference. Never happened before in modern history. President-elect gets up and says directly to a reporter, fake news. Your outlet is fake news. And he also said, Trump did, there's several other of you fake news outlets right here sitting down front, right? So the war continues. In case people thought that when Trump was elected, he was just going to back off and make nice and say we're all friends and it's all great. No, 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 no. Because they kept shooting at him. And so now they can feel the heat and they can understand what's happening.
I think everybody is appalled not only at the way they put this story together, but also at that press conference where he's demanding that Donald Trump talk to him. Donald Trump is going to talk to Mara Liasson. And, you know, she's establishment media, and he's pointing to her. And this guy is shouting at Trump, demanding, I have got a sense of entitlement here. Yeah, you can't do that. And it's like, exactly. No, actually, I can. You don't really understand who is in control here. And I thought that was an amazing moment to not only call them out on their lies, on their deceit, on their being the prostitutes for these people behind all of this who are trying to take down Donald Trump because they're part of the global elite establishment and they understand that he's not with them. But I think it was just an amazing visual for people to see the arrogance of the media there, the arrogance of CNN.
Didn't he say this is inappropriate?
Yeah, exactly. Lecturing him like that. This is inappropriate.
This is inappropriate.
It's like, you know, goodbye.
As if he expected, you know, suddenly everything to stop. And people would say, my goodness sakes, my man, you're right. It is inappropriate. And we apologize. We'll back off. Let's now do an appropriate dialogue. Did not happen.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well, what have you got for us coming up in the fourth hour, John?
Well, we're going to talk more about the press conference. I'm looking at my notes here. How Trump actually broke into this monopoly of media. What he did.
Yeah, he really transcended them, didn't he? Yeah. Did it with social media. You know, Ronald Reagan always said he was going to go over the heads of the media and everything. He didn't really have the tools to do something like that. But Donald Trump had the tools, he had the guts to do it, he actually made it come true. And I think we're going to continue to see this. He's not going to be held captive by these people. He's not going to be held captive by their press releases. He may even go to a situation where he doesn't have these normal press conferences.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. All right, well, I'm going to sign out, and we're going to turn this broadcast over to John Rappaport. He's in good hands. Thank you so much, John, and we'll be right back with John Rappaport.
Front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way.
John Rappaport sitting in for Alex in the fourth hour here. Welcome. Good to be here as always. I've got to start by talking about Climate Hustle here, which David was talking about in the last hour with Mark Morano of Climate Depot. Climate Hustle is the film. Infowarsstore.com is where you can get it. Here's the story, folks. Look, the whole climate agenda predicates on this idea that based on fake science, which is revealed in Climate Hustle, presidents, leaders, monarchs, oligarchs, you name it, elites around the world can say to their people and can rule on this that we are going to cut energy production in our country. Figures have been touted for the U.S. at 20 to 30% cut in the next 10 to 15 years. Because you see, we're bringing online solar and wind and this and that and, you know, all of that kind of malarkey to replace the CO2 emitting energy that we are now using. But we have to cut energy production, period, 20 to 30%, right? So this is what's behind this whole agenda. Well, what does that mean? Can you figure out what that means? If you were the king and you said, my people, we are going to cut energy production throughout the whole land by 20 to 30%. Well, that means you're going to torpedo the economy. Let's wake up to that. Let's get it straight, please, once and for all. You're going to put more and more people into pain, suffering, and poverty. And the people who are already there are going to be feeling it even worse. But everybody is going to be affected significantly. That's the agenda. That's what we're talking about. Fake science leading to diminishment of energy production by a whole lot all over the world. And this is supposed to save the planet, of course, from frying and so forth, because we'll have less CO2. So this sham of science has a reason. It's not just an academic piece of fraud. This is what we're talking about here. Because globalism, elite globalism, is in the business of torpedoing economies. That's what they do. That's what they want. They don't want to create jobs. Because in the midst of the chaos and the desecration and the destitution created by the lowering of energy production, then the elite can say, well, my goodness gracious, we have a horrible crisis here and we need to do something. And here's the plan that will save us all. And of course, in order to put this plan into effect, we have to have representatives from every nation on earth who represent the best interests of the people to put the plan into action. And then it turns out, of course, that these representatives are not representatives at all. They are Trilateral Commission members, Council on Foreign Relations members, all of the globalist organizations, Bilderberg, you name it. And they become the global management system that is the new world order, and sovereign nations cease to exist because it's a planetary crisis, the loss of energy. Where did that come from? It came from the same people who are now presenting the plan to rescue everybody. Let's get it straight, please, 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 please. Climate Hustle will show you a great deal of what has been happening here, including fake science. Infowarsstore.com, Mark Morano, ClimateDepot.com. Thank you, Mark. Okay, Trump's press conference yesterday. He says to CNN reporter, CNN is fake news. He says, there are a few other fake news outlets sitting here today, too. This is an ex-president of the United States. I've been a reporter now for 34 years. Never seen anything like this. Never, ever. I implore you to understand the magnitude of what happened there, the extreme magnitude of what happened yesterday at the press conference, a president-elect going to war with the major media, which has been traditionally the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, everything of society, presenting fake news endlessly, confusing everybody, putting everybody to sleep, covering up and omitting the true deep political events of our time. If we're going to have a revolution, and we're in the middle of one right now, then the first order of business is overtaking and overthrowing fake news, by which I mean major media. That's the first order of business, and that is happening. And now we had yesterday a president-elect, I don't care what you think of him, getting up and saying directly to these news guys, you're fake. And in case you didn't understand what I was saying, you're fake. And if you need any further clarification on that, you're fake. You are fake. You know, I mean, you can't overstate the significance of that event, no matter how much you try. And I'll tell you something else, too. And this goes to the point of what some of you think of Trump and others think of Trump and so on and so forth. This guy broke into the scene like some kind of a swaggering cowboy walking into the saloon in a Western B movie. Steps up to the bar and says, give me a double whiskey. Looks around and says, man, this is a foul place. Who are these people that are inhabiting it? And everybody looks at him. Who is this guy? Where did he come from? How did he break in? What is he talking about? How dare he say these things about our sacred hearth and home? You know, the saloon, where all the news really happens in town. So my contention is, and it's correct, that some people would have preferred to have another candidate, quote, destroy major media. Oh, well, we would have liked it if somebody had, you know, been more polite and been more acute and been more measured and so forth and so rational and so forth. No, 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 no. That wasn't going to work. People have tried that. As David pointed out, Reagan tried that. Didn't work. Ron Paul tried. That didn't work. Ross Perot made a few dents. Didn't work, though. Trump made it work exactly because of his persona and his personality and his character. So I don't care what you think of him. He broke through a revolution that was already in progress, which is overthrowing major media, and he gave it the kind of boost that you can only do with rocket fuel, and you can only do with that kind of personality that just doesn't care, that's completely reckless, that can dismiss a mainstream reporter with a look, who can say, you know what? You're an idiot. You're a complete idiot. And your news outlet is failing completely. And it works. My, that's inappropriate, and we don't like that, Mr. Trump, and you shouldn't talk. I don't care what you think. You're an idiot. You're wrong. Most of the time you're wrong, and that's why your news outlet is going down the toilet. And all of a sudden, this has legs. This works. People are waking up and saying, well, that's what I thought. Millions of people are saying, well, I've been thinking that for years. I mean, can't we get these idiots off the air and stop reading these crazy newspapers like the New York Times and the Washington Post? Please, can we do it? And Trump is basically saying, yeah, of course we can do it. Of course we can do it. Of course we can do it. And so they're trying to defame him and destroy him in every way possible, with as many fake stories as they can put together. But basically, what the media are saying is, we're fine. We've always been fine. There's nothing wrong with us. We always tell the truth. This guy is the problem. This guy is the guy who's pretending to be president, who's illegitimate, and we are going to do everything we can to delegitimize him to take the attention off of us. He's a fake president. He isn't real. He's a delusion. Everybody's dreaming. This didn't happen. This election never took place. We, your news media friends, are fine and upstanding and resolute and truthful and honest as we've always been. He is the faker. And it's not working. Hasn't worked for the last year. And it's getting worse for them. Getting absolutely worse for them. Trump is like the guy, to use another metaphor, you're on a football team, let's say, in college. Team is not doing very well. Scholarships, everybody's on scholarship, but you know, it's not happening. And then all of a sudden, one day, this guy swaggers onto the field and says, I'm the greatest football player that ever lived. And everybody starts laughing at him, come on, and so forth and so on. He said, let me show you. So he takes the ball and he runs through 15 tacklers and destroys them. That's what's happening. I'll have more after the break here. But this is what's happening with Donald Trump, and I'll detail it for you. This is John Rappaport. Stay tuned. Don't go away. InfoWars. Back again here in the fourth hour. In the next segment, we're going to have a new five-minute report from Alex, so be sure you're hanging in for that. And also want to let you know that InfoWarsLife.com, the super sale, Make Our Bodies Great Again. Be sure you go there because you're going to get great deals. Brain Force, 30% off. Super Male Vitality, 30% off. Survival Shield X2, 30% off. Vitamin B12, 20% off. Liver Shield, 20% off. Knockout, 20% off. And Prostaguard, 20% off. You go to InfoWarsLife.com. You order the products. You support InfoWars in the InfoWar, which we are currently winning at a fantastic rate. I'm here to assure you of that after 34 years of working as a reporter. So it's, as Alex says, win-win. You get the products, InfoWars gets your support to not only maintain, but also expand the operation, the whole operation, including the new app and so on and so forth at InfoWars. InfoWarsLife.com, super sale. Check it out. Now, okay, was talking about Trump and the football metaphor before the break. So it's this guy who's the walk-on, you see. Nobody figured that this was going to happen. He's there. He says, give me the ball. Let me show you what I can do for you. You're now 1-6, having a real losing season. In fact, you're a bunch of losers. Right. This doesn't go over too well with the team. You're out there. You're on the team. You're out there on the field. It's been a pathetic season. And the coach says, all right, Mr. Smarty Pants, Mr. Braggadocio, let's see what you can do. Line up here. Give them the ball. Full pad, scrimmage, defense, knock them down. Quarterback takes the ball, gives it to this swaggering cowboy character Trump, and no blocking for him. No blocking. No interference. No help. He smashes through the line and knocks six guys down and goes all the way to the end zone. And he stands there and he looks back and he says, see what I mean? It works. It works. You don't have to be losers anymore. We're going to have a good team here. And he does it three or four more times, and people go, holy mackerel, look what's happening here. How did this go from nothing to where we are now? This is what happened. He came in, looked at the media, and said, you're a bunch of losers. You're idiots. Well, I've never heard anything like that in my life. That's right, you haven't, but now you are. And millions of people started cheering immediately because, as I said, they've been thinking the same thing, exactly the same thing. And then yesterday, at his first press conference as president-elect, he doubled down. He doubled down in front of a national, global audience. He looked at, what was the guy's name, Jim Acosta? And he said, your outlet, CNN, is fake news. And there's a few more of you fake news outlets sitting right here. This was unheard of, absolutely unheard of. So here's the point. The movement, the people who want freedom and who want truth, who are many of whom have supported Trump, but many of whom not. Maybe they didn't support anybody. An opening, a further opening in the war, the info war, has been produced by Trump. That's a fact. Do with it what you will. I don't care what you think about Trump. That's a fact. And we are making tremendous hay as a result of that because people are waking up and saying, well, this is fake news from NBC, and that's fake news from CBS. And by the way, when we look at these outlets, isn't a guy named David Rhodes the president of CBS News? And isn't his brother, Ben Rhodes, his brother, Obama's deputy national security advisor for communications, strategic communications? How did that happen? How did that happen? That sounds like fake news to me. How did a guy named Carlos Slim get to be the principal investor in the world's most honored newspaper, the New York Times? How did that happen? You ought to read up on Carlos Slim. Check him out. We'll be back after the break. John Rappaport on InfoWord.
Including myself, have developed a normalcy bias. And of course, a normalcy bias is the fact that we tend to become adaptive or conform to the current environments we live in. In ancient Aztec times, say 600 years ago, before the arrival of the Spaniards, there were daily sacrifices of men, women, and children to the gods. Some had their hearts chopped out, some were bound and thrown into deep wells. Still others were hunted down in ritualistic sporting events, like the famous bull court at Chichen Itza and other areas in Mesoamerica. I don't mean to go off into a history lesson. The issue is we become comfortable with always having things being free and happy and open. We also become comfortable with tyrannies that we're basically born into. And to a great extent, we've gotten very comfortable watching MSM lie to us and engage in giant hoaxes. Even if we know they're big liars, we still kind of just accept them like a crocodile on the side of the Nile River. Sure, the crocodile occasionally eats children, sometimes women, sometimes even men. But we've learned to see the 20-foot crocodiles just lay there happily in the mud because we've grown up around them. We're comfortable with them. And I catch myself laughing about how they use the word dossier concerning this latest fake Trump stuff, which is admittedly fake, but the media is still running with it because they're already discredited. What do they have to lose? I could say there are dossiers that John McCain is a child molester. Now, there isn't a dossier that I know of actually saying that, but I could go dossier instead of dossier. Instead of just saying somebody claims or there's some internet report or some recycled year-and-a-half-old garbage. But if I say dossier, you know, there are dossiers and actual witnesses of Barack Obama and homosexual orgies. I'm not bashing Obama that he's a homosexual. I'm bashing Obama in that he's clearly blackmailed.
You see, the truth is we're blackmailed by communist China, Saudi Arabia, and others. A lot of globalists willfully go and get themselves blackmailed, put themselves in compromising positions, because then they won't be trusted by the group. And they're so upset that Trump doesn't have this blackmailable information. They would have already used it, obviously, during the campaign. So now they just put out recycled fake garbage. And it should really illustrate to all of us how much grave danger we're in. You know, I posed this question throughout the day, but I want to ask John Rappaport right now, as this live voice memo comes into him and airs live, I want to ask him, what does he think about this? I mean, does he agree with me, or how can he elaborate? That for me, the big issue here is not even the new fake dossier put out by some globalist attaché and other fancy $10 words. Isn't it showing the recklessness of these people? And the real story is, what will they come up with next with only 8 days? And then what comes after that? And do they realize how they're discrediting themselves forever? I mean, we really are seeing crazy meltdown with globalist hijacked intelligence agencies who are really the foreign takeover artists, claiming there's some foreign takeover when we're doing the opposite, trying to reestablish our national sovereignty along with other nations across the globe. And it's that pattern that's unstoppable. They're not going to be able to blame the Russians for all of it. No, it's the globalists who are to blame. Now back to John Rappaport with live coverage. And he's the guy that coined the term fake news. I'm going to steal Trump's term now and call it pile of garbage news or garbage news. Back to the man from NoMoreFakeNews.com. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. Please don't take the science for granted. We're under mega massive attack.
I agree completely, Alex. That's the point. They're getting more and more desperate, more and more reckless. They're saying and doing anything. I wrote that I expected the next thing would be this, that Trump is some kind of an extraterrestrial invader and that his flying saucer landed on the Mexican-U.S. border some years ago, and how come they let him through without any papers or something like that. I mean, it could get to that. It could get to anything after the latest business about the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Moscow and what Trump supposedly had these hookers doing, et cetera, all of this stuff, because they're losing. They've lost, and they keep on losing, and they're discredited completely, and it gets worse and worse and worse. If you've been tracking, if you have any memory at all, as soon as the election was over, it was fake news, and then it was Russian fake news, and then it was Russia influenced election, then it was Russia influenced election on the side of Trump, and then it was Trump was either an unwitting or witting or blackmailed agent of Putin, and now here's exactly what really did happen, of course, the dossier that shows how they blackmailed him. And, you know, they just make this stuff up out of nowhere, right? The Washington Post leads the way. Jeff Bezos, who owns the Post and owns Amazon, has a $600 million contract with the CIA to do their cloud computing. And he is objective. And the Washington Post is objective. And they don't print a conflict of interest statement at the beginning of every single story that even mentions the CIA and says, hey, folks, you know, you probably shouldn't believe this story because our owner, Jeff Bezos, actually has a $600 million contract with the CIA and he's going to get more from the CIA. And we're CIA connected. So really, why bother even reading the story? Let's just say it's fake news. Yours truly, the editors of the Washington Post. And that statement would precede every single story that they run that even mentions the word CIA. I mean, that would be authentic journalism. Of course, it would destroy itself in the process, but that's their problem, not mine. I don't have that problem. I do not have that problem. I was mentioning Carlos Slim. He is now the biggest single investor in the New York Times. Now, you can read about him. Go online, check him out, check his background. Check the fact that one of his biographers claims that when he went to Warren Buffett and Bill Gates for statements about Carlos Slim, they didn't want to talk. They did not want to talk to him. as if, hey, it's not a good idea to talk about Carlos, right? Make what you will. Research it. But here's a further point. Why did the New York Times, that was sinking into so much red ink that they couldn't even get out, why did they have to refinance the refinancing of the refinancing of their draining down the toilet newspaper with a guy named Carlos Slim from Mexico? Because they couldn't get that kind of money from any investor in the U.S. Wake up, folks. Couldn't get that kind of money from any investor in the U.S. because no investor in the U.S. thought that they were a good enough risk? That tells you something, doesn't it? I mean, come on. So we have Jeff Bozo at the Washington Post with CIA in partnership, and we have Carlos Slim, principal investor in the New York Times. We have David Rhodes, the president of CBS, and his brother Ben is deputy national security advisor to Obama. And this is authentic news? Please. This is the fake of the fake of the fake. And how much lower can they sink? Well, we don't have to worry about that because they're going to show us in the coming days. They're going to keep on going. They're not going to stop. You know, it's like the compulsive, obsessive, maniacal, lunatic gambler with a lot of money who walks into a casino in Vegas. And the more he loses, the more he has to play. The more he loses, the more he has to play, and the more he has to believe, like it's a religion, that he's going to get it back. Do you understand? You know the phenomenon. If I just stay here at the table a little while longer, I'm sure I'm going to get it all back. So, yeah, let's go for it. Okay, double down. Here we go. Yeah, sure. And the heart rate is increasing and the blood pressure is going crazy and he's sweating and so forth and so on. You know, that last hand, I just, you know, okay, I'm going to double again. That's what they're doing. That's what the fake major media are doing. That story didn't take hold. That story didn't play. We didn't convince anybody with that one, so we have to go double down. Tell a crazier story. Okay, do we have one? Sure, we have one. We got this dossier that's been floating around for the last year. Let's just use it. And let's say that we don't know whether it's true, but we think the reader should have an opportunity to decide. Isn't that what the BuzzFeed editor said? What's his name? Ben Smith? I mean, is that is that what they learn at journalism school these days? Now, listen, kiddies, when you get to be an editor in a fake news major media outlet, here's the way you play it. When you've got a story that you're desperate to release because you're already under assault and your reputation and your money are all going away, you grab anything you can, and then as an excuse for running with it, you say, well, we think the reader should decide. Don't worry about fact-checking. Don't worry about where the sources came from. Don't worry about any of that stuff that we were teaching you, when you first came in the door so that we could impress you. Here's the real stuff. You run anything you can. The more horrible, the better. And you say, let the reader decide. That's the new principle of major media now. We're just going to throw as much stuff at the wall as we can and hope that something, please, God, make something stick and let the reader decide. Let the audience decide. Hi, this is Brian Williams with the news tonight, and we have 16 items, none of which we can verify. Of course, we haven't been able to verify much of anything in all the time I've spent here at NBC, but we don't worry about that. But tonight, we're just going to come out and tell you. None of this we can verify, but it's up to you to decide which stories you're going to believe in and accept. And in fact, we're going to do a poll because we want to know what you're going to buy that we're selling so we can keep selling it to you. So here are the 16 outrageous pieces of baloney that we're calling news that have no verification, no sources, nothing at all. They could be true. They could be false. We don't know. We don't care. We're throwing them on the wall, and we're running this fantastic poll. So we want you to tell us what we're telling you tonight that you believe is true. That's what we have to know from you so we can get a clue of what more baloney to slice to feed to you tomorrow, because we're at the end of our rope. Okay, folks, we are at the end of our rope. This is the subtext of major media now. I mean, do I have any more here in my notes? Well, we have Obama's farewell address, which was a monument of canoodling, or whatever you want to call it. That's not the right word. A con job of the highest order, shall we say, because nowhere does he mention the fact that right out of the gate as president, he decided that jobs were not going to be a priority. He had promised it. The country was screaming for it back in 2008, if you recall, and instead he went with health care, you know, Obamacare, which is the most gigantic mess that's ever been created by federal government, I think. Nothing about jobs. Well, of course not, because he's a globalist, and globalists do not want job creation, because that would mean canceling trade treaties and so forth and so on, and going against the globalist agenda of torpedoing economies. And Obama was mentored by Zbigniew Brzezinski as soon as he was elected, who is a partner of David Rockefeller that created the Trilateral Commission in 1973, which is the most powerful globalist force on the planet. Check out Patrick Wood and Global Trilaterals over Washington. That'll give you the story on that, right? So Obama isn't going to talk about that. Major media are not going to comment on that. Nobody in major media like Maureen Dowd or some other very fancy editorial writer or Paul Krugman for the New York Times are going to look into their dossiers and come up with, you know what, this guy Obama has been conning us, everybody in America, including the people desperate in inner cities who wanted jobs, for the last 8 years, because he said he was going to put back jobs, and he hasn't. The figures show it, unless you want to include fast food restaurant jobs and part-time jobs as part of the deal. He hasn't. And there's got to be a good reason for that. Oh, yeah, there is. He's a globalist. They don't want jobs. They don't want to cancel trade treaties. They want more corporations to leave America. And now that could be reversing. Is that really happening? I mean, oh my God, is that really going on? Is it coming back? Are jobs actually coming back to America? That would be a catastrophe. We must not have that. We must not have that. Otherwise, how can we justify and explain the imposition of a globalist management system over the whole desperate planet? How can we invoke a crisis great enough to take over? If too many jobs come back and people, you know, look, people have been willing to work alongside each other regardless of race, religion, creed, color, whatever background, for a long time in America. That's no revelation. Obama knows that. He went back to an earlier time. You know, he's talking in his farewell address about Jim Crow is still alive in America. Sure, okay, to a degree, but he's basically going back to an earlier time, because people all over America are willing to work with each other. If there's work, if there's decent paying jobs, they don't care. And he knows that. He's lying. And fake media are obscuring the lies, pretending that they don't exist. That is what's happening, folks. That is what's happening in the country. And they're getting more desperate. The fake media are getting more fake. That level of fake didn't work. We got to sink to a lower level. What can we do? We were alligators on the edge. Now we have to be crocodiles under the surface. And if that doesn't work, we have to be some kind of bottom feeding, crawling, claw-ridden, hideous object on the ocean floor. Whatever level we have to sink to in order to justify our existence and just keep going because we're so desperate and so obsessed. Just keep throwing that stuff at the wall, baby, because somewhere it has to stick. Somewhere it has to stick. And it's not. It's going away. It's all going away, folks. It's all going away. Major media are all going to be talking to themselves. That's all they're going to be doing. And everybody else is going to be getting their news from independent media and creating their own news. That's the story. John Rappaport, thanks very much. InfoWars.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
John Rappaport back for our last segment here in the fourth hour, InfoWars. And let me make one more mention here of InfoWarsLife.com and the super sale, because you get excellent products and you support the InfoWar at InfoWars.com. InfoWarsLife.com, super sale, make our bodies great again. Brain Force, 30% off. Super Male Vitality, 30% off. Survival Shield X2, 30% off. Vitamin B12, 20% off. Liver Shield, 20% off. Knockout, 20% off. And Prostaguard, 20% off. That's 20% off on all of those, 30% off on the others. What could be better? InfoWarsLife.com, this is not an operation that is relying on government money, other corporate support, foundation support. From the foundation that supports the CIA, we support you. No, not the way it works. These are products for you. For your body, for your health, for your life, and at the same time, you support InfoWars. InfoWarsLife.com. So in the closing minutes here, we are not only winning the war on the news, on media, not only is major media going down, but I'm here to tell you that major media in other countries are watching what's happening here, and they are beginning to make their own shift. Their own shift. So somebody like me can speak for 5 minutes on Sputnik News, the official Russian news agency. That happened the other day. How does that occur? Because everybody senses there's a shift going on. And whether or not they support it or they really recognize it, they want to get on board. And so I talk for a few minutes. People come to my website. They say, hey, this guy's writing about a whole lot of other things. They certainly have done the same thing with InfoWars and many other independent media websites. Media outlets that it would be considered major media outside the United States are beginning to give voice, space, room, time, words, print to independent media reporters and outlets. And in the process of doing that, whether they intend for it to happen or not, they really don't care. What happens is people come to the websites and blogs and so forth of those independent reporters, and they find out what else is going on there, and they're introduced to a whole new world and level of information they hadn't encountered before. That's what happens. That's part of the revolution as well. The major media lunatics are so confounded by their own situation now that they are losing, in fact, not only their sanity, such as it ever was, but their sense of confusion is mounting. They just don't know what to do. Stay with us, folks, because we, the independent media, are winning. See you next time. We'll be right back.